pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Would the clerk please note the roll?
So noted.
Mr. Manager, special orders of business.
Mr. Mayor, I would like to point out and recognize Mr. Roger Healy, our new Engineering and Public Works Director. We've had him on board for a couple weeks now, and we're happy to have him on staff.
Mr. Healy, welcome back. Normally, we do about 5 minutes, but we have a big crowd tonight, so if you want to hold your remarks to 2 minutes.
I think they will be a good deal shorter than that. Greetings. I am very happy to be back and looking forward to working with all of you and to the public as well. So I'll conclude at that.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. That brings us to approval of the minutes. Ms. Becker.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move that we approve April 27, special assembly meeting, May 2nd, regular assembly meeting, May 11, special assembly meeting, and ask for unanimous consent.
Is there any objection?
No objection. Just let you know I gave a grammatical correction to the city clerk.
Thank you.
Was it the same one?
No, actually, there were a different set of minutes, so there were two corrections.
I just want the teacher to note that I was doing my homework.
Very,
very good. Very good. That brings us to the manager's request for agenda changes. Mr. Manager.
Mr. Mayor, I have one requested agenda change on the consent agenda. I recommend you remove item 3B, the new liquor license application from Alaska Sustainable Seafood, DBA Deccan Dave's, from the consent agenda for discussion.
Okay. Public participation on non-agenda items. Jim Sidney.
But sign up on
non-agenda items? No, you signed up on the right one. Sorry. But William Pettycap. Yes. And that's
Pettycap, yes.
Yep. All right. Do you want to come up, please? And if you could keep your comments to a couple minutes, that would be great.
I've been trying to start a business. I've been an insurance agent for 39 years.
William, can I ask you to just give your name and your address?
William Quayle, 415 Willoughby Avenue. I've been trying to start a pedicab business, and there needs to be a separate designation for pedicab, because right now I'm treated like I'm a big, huge fleet. And I don't have $1,500 to dish out. Like, I have nothing. I mean, it's like I have deep pockets. I don't. And the better way to do it would be, it's much better to have 20 accepting sales tax for 20 people than $1,500 for just one. Okay. The other way to do it is to alternative is to have the people put up a bond of $5,000, so that if somebody swindled out of their money, the city gets the money. And that's the responsible way to do it. But right now, it kills business. Okay, just the way it's set up right now, it's not. And the city of Vancouver has 28 pedicab, and they found out that pedicabs don't hurt the flow of the business, the traffic, okay? In fact, our pedicabs we already have, most of the time they're on the sidewalk. So it's better to, and I ride all the time, so I decided, try to make money off of it. And I'm trained for the Olympics twice, so I got the endurance to do it. But I don't think it's right. I don't, you know, I'm willing to get the Class C permit, get my pedicab inspected, but the $1,500 is just too much. I mean, I'm going to have to not work in downtown, okay, because of it, all right? And it shouldn't be like that, okay? It should be promoting business, not stifling business. Okay, I'm totally against that. All right, and that's the reason why I'm up here, you know, saying something, because it's affecting me directly, okay? And when you have something affecting, I want the lines of the street taken care of. I don't want to have to pay for it all by myself, okay? All right, I mean, that's something that I noticed during the winter is awfully bad. But I will be running all year round, not just during the summer. Okay, I do long distance. You know, I can very well take people long distance if they want. And they're not going to be paying the price of a cab. And I can go places where the cabs can't, which is really good. Plus, we're promoting if the city, you know, they're supposed to be. Okay.
Wait, wait up to say, are there any questions? Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
That's all the people that had signed up for public participation and non-agenda items. Which, yes, sir.
Excuse me. This is the first time I've ever been on any of these here. And if I wanted to say something, is my name supposed to be on that list?
It should be.
All right.
Is it on an agenda item? Correct. When we get there, we'll allow testimony on that.
All right,
thank you. That brings us to the consent agenda. Mr. Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move approval of the consent agenda with the exception of agenda item 3B, the new liquor license number 5482, and ask unanimous consent.
Is there any objection from the Assembly? Motion passes. We are now at new liquor license 5482. Madam Clerk, can you read that title for us, please?
New liquor license number 5482, Alaska Sustainable Seafood, doing business as Deckhand Dave's Restaurant Eating Place Public Convenience Application and an application for restaurant designation permit.
Mr. Manager.
Mr. Mayor, a proposed new public convenience liquor license application for Alaska Sustainable Seafood, DBA Deckhand Dave's, is before the Assembly for either approval or disapproval. Under Alaska statute, restaurant eating place liquor licenses are limited by population standards to one license per 1,500 population. Additionally, state statute allows for the issuance of a license not subject to the population standards if the Assembly finds that issuance of a license is necessary for the public convenience. The Finance, Police, Fire, and Community Development Departments have reviewed the above business and found it to be in compliance with CBJ code. In the event the Assembly does deny this license application, CBJ code requires notice with specificity regarding the nature and basis of the protest to be sent to the licensee and provides the licensee an opportunity to exercise its right to an informal hearing before the Assembly. The business has also submitted an application for a restaurant designation permit, which is also before the Assembly tonight for approval or denial. Tonight, the Assembly may consider the question of necessity for public convenience and the restaurant designation permit. If it chooses to do so, the Assembly must provide comment to the state ABC board within 60 days of receipt of the application. That period ends on July 2nd. If the Assembly needs additional information on this matter, we would need specific guidance in order to obtain that information. I have no recommendation on this matter.
Is there any public comment? Mr. Gill, do you want to put the motion before?
Did HRC take this up?
No.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Is this a situation in which we would waive, just for clarification to get the motion right, waive our right to protest this, or does it require affirmative approval, Madam Attorney?
You would need to approve the application. Approve the application according to the reg, since this is not, this is an extra license. This is an additional license that would not normally be allowed except for in this circumstance. So it does require an approval.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move approval of the public convenience license and of the restaurant designation permit and ask unanimous consent.
Ms. Stroll?
For purposes of discussion, I object. I have a question or two.
Certainly.
Thank you. Mr. Manager, when the police and the fire department determined there didn't have any problems with this application, it wasn't on the basis of whether or not it was necessary for public convenience. It was rather compliance with code and sales tax issues. Am I correct on that?
I believe that's accurate.
Any other discussion?
I guess I have, I'm struggling with how you get to determining that it's necessary to have another liquor license on South Franklin when there's lots of liquor licenses around there. So unless I hear some reason why it's necessary to us to find this as a needed public convenience, I'll be voting no.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The language of necessity is a difficult one. The process is, to me, a little more meaningful in that the applicant for this license was required to demonstrate public support by getting just under 3,000, I guess 2,800 and some odd, not quite 2,900 signatures of people who reside, who actually have their physical residence within a mile of the downtown library where I think he's put the, in the shadow of it, where he's put the stand. And that's no small feat. So there is significant public support. And I was impressed at the applicant's gumption when he went out and made the pitch that he was going to make really good fish tacos and that it'd be good to have a beverage that required a license with them. And so I signed his petition, as did more than 2,800 other people. So I don't know that I can define necessity either. But I think it's worth approving.
Ms. Becker?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Is this license year-round? Is it a tourist season? Is it a tourist season license or a year-round license?
Through the mayor, it is a seasonal license. That the dates are noted on the application form in your packet.
Ms. Becker?
Would we expect the rest of the stands down there to be asking for a similar, they wouldn't be able to because there'd be too many in that section of space. I'm asking that question. Are they limited by the number according to the section, the space that is there? I guess I want to know that too.
Mr. Manager?
Mr. Mayor, as I mentioned in the staff report, another applicant wouldn't be eligible for a license from the population standards, but they could follow the same process, and it would be back before you again whether subsequent ones would be publicly convenient and necessary.
Ms. Purcell.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Regarding the motion to approve the liquor license, this Deccan Dave's is located behind the beside the library. He's in the space where Tracy's Crab Shack started out, and he has a small tent and a trailer. I was there earlier tonight. He has incredible tacos. I think that approval of this would not be really an issue because it's so small. I don't see it as really being, certainly it's on South Franklin, but I don't see it as being a problem zone. And I'm going to vote for approval of this, and I encourage others to do so too. Thank you.
Further discussion? And Dave, I'm not allowing public comment unless one of these guys have a question for you, because we're already through that part of it. That's why we're okay at the stage that we're at. But if they have questions, then we can do a little bit of leeway. Does anybody else have any further comments or questions? Okay. Would you read the motion, please, Madam Clerk?
The motion for new liquor license number 5482, Alaska Sustainable Seafood, doing businesses Deccan Dave's Restaurant Eating Place Public Convenience Application and Application for Restaurant Designation Permit. The motion to approve this license as well as the restaurant designation permit.
All right. Will you call the roll, please?
Ms. Becker?
Yes.
Ms. Purcell?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Ms. Gladyszewski?
Yes.
Mr. Keel?
Yes.
Mr. Nankervis?
Yes.
Ms. Troll?
Yes.
Ms. White?
Yes.
Mayor Kelch?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay. This brings us to public hearings. And I will ask Mr. Nankervis to do the first three of these, please. So, Ordinance 2016-08, Ms. Clerk.
Ordinance 2016-08, Version B, an ordinance establishing the rate of levy for property taxes.
Mr. Manager.
This ordinance establishes the mill rates for real and personal property taxes for 2016, which funds a significant portion of the City and Borough of Juneau's FY17 operating and capital budgets. The charter requires the assembly to adopt by ordinance the tax levies necessary to fund the budget before June 15th. The mill levies presented in this ordinance support the City and Borough's FY17 proposed budget as amended by the Assembly Finance Committee. An opportunity for public comment was provided at a special assembly meeting on April 27th, 2016. The Assembly Finance Committee reviewed the mill rate ordinance at its meeting on May 11, 2016 and approved a motion to amend the proposed mill rates and refer the amended ordinance to the full Assembly for adoption. For FY17, the manager's budget recommended a total mill rate of 10.51. On May 11th, the Finance Committee forwarded a recommendation of a mill rate of 10.76, which it matches last year's mill rate, the mill rate used for fiscal year 16. In your red folder is a table showing the effect of various mill rates and their impact on revenue collection and on a $300,000 property. Copies are also available in the back of the room. I recommend that you adopt this ordinance as amended by the Assembly Finance Committee.
No one has signed up for public comment, but is there any public comment?
I can make a comment.
Sign up for it. Please give your name and address for the clerk, please.
Name is James Sidney, 10400 Glacier Highway. The comment I have about your budget, which you're remaining the same, I didn't read in your red book, what is the increase of the property values from last year to this year? Is it a typical 4.5 to 5%? That's to the city manager.
Yeah, we'll go through the manager on that one.
Mr. Mayor, property values went up generally across the borough and differently following the market. So the assessor is required to assess properties to try and match the fair market value. And I think generally homes on average were in the 6% increase.
Okay. Back to the increase of the borough doing and has been doing for the last 40 years of raising property values exponentially every year and maintaining, we're going to keep the budget the same based off of last year's mill rate. I object to the borough substantially raising their dollar value to spend every year without really looking at what you guys are doing. You've had a tremendous increase of revenue to spend and with no change going on around town specifically, you know, particularly. And it's just an observation that I've seen in the last 40 years that you guys had a ongoing increase of budget without doing anything. You always say you're maintaining the same mill rate. I never see the mill rate going down substantially and staying within your budget. I just see it going up and up and up, and you're going, oh, God, we're staying within our mill rate. But you really have a large increase every year.
Okay. Are there any questions for Mr. Sidney? Ms. Troll?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I don't really have a question. I just would encourage the individual to look at our budgets and that they actually have the total operating budget for the last 2 years has been declining. So just putting that out there.
Okay. Thank you for coming up.
Thank you.
Mr. Nan Kervis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move adoption of Ordinance 2016-08B. And I'm going to go out on a limb here and ask for unanimous consent.
Is there objection, Mr. Jones?
I object. If I might, Mr. Mayor, I'd like to propose an amendment to Ordinance 20168B. And since there aren't line numbers, if you look at the actual ordinance in our packet, under area-wide, it shows a number of 6.45 crossed out and the number 6.70. My amendment would be to reduce that to 6.60, which then would make the operating total go from 9.36 to 9.26 and the total overall line to go from 10.76 to 10.66. So basically my amendment is to change area-wide from 6.70 to 6.60 and adjust accordingly.
Would you like to speak further to your motion?
I would.
Or your amendment.
And my amendment. At the Finance Committee, in order to maintain the same level with our obligation to reduce the debt service mill rate, we actually had to increase the area-wide mill rate to keep it the same. And I thought that, and I voted against it at that point, it did pass, but I thought that it was better to try to keep that mill rate the same and do the deduction that we had to take in the debt service per the charter. And so this amendment would bring it in line with I think what was proposed in the manager's budget for 2018. And it would bring it in line with keeping the area wide the same. It would be a slight reduction in money available that we had set aside in a deferred maintenance CIP, but other than that, it wouldn't have any impact on the operating budgets.
Okay. We have an amendment for you. Further discussion? Mr. Kill.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'll speak in favor of the amendment. Mr. Jones got to it with his motion first. My motion would have been actually to lower the area-wide operating mill rate further from the ordinance because the the numbers that we need to fund the operating and capital budgets that we discussed are actually a little less even than 6.6 mils on the area-wide operating. I'm willing to compromise a little, even though I just have this philosophical problem with taxing at a mill rate higher than we need for the operations of government that we think are right for the community. So, however, this will still leave some money to go into this undefined sort of deferred maintenance CIP that we talked about in concept. And we weren't sure how we were going to use that. I'm willing to compromise, I suppose, and vote for Mr. Jones' amendment. But I think it's important that we not take up the slack left by lowering the debt service mill levy as we pay off bonds without some compelling reason. And to me, the general notion that we don't know what's coming and we should sock away some more cash doesn't get the job done. We have more than $10 million in general fund balance. We have a rainy day emergency fund of $11 million. 12? I don't remember exactly. We're okay for hard times coming. While I don't think Mr. Jones goes quite far enough, I'll certainly support his amendment.
Ms. Kwiatkowski.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would support this amendment. I, too, I think this is a good place to be. Like Mr. Jones voted against the changes we made at the last Finance Committee, and I do think it's a judgment of risk, and we do have hard times coming, but we paid off some debt, and the property taxpayers agreed to a certain amount of debt when they voted for all the projects we built, and that has been reduced since we paid it off, and that should be reflected in the mill levy. So I would support this motion.
Ms. Troll?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm going to stay with where the Finance Committee ended up in supporting a mill levy at the same level. When the city manager first came forward to recommend a slight reduction in the mill levy, I instinctively was supportive of it as a way to kind of offset the sticker shock of the increase in assessments. But since the manager introduced the budget, I've become much more aware of a greater sticker shock, and that is what's happening with the Alaska legislature. The manager's budget did not include an increase of $357,000 in state revenue loss. We have a legislature that's still wrestling in special session with the state's fiscal challenges before them, which creates a lot of economic uncertainty. We have an estimate from our finance director that shows, in addition to the $357,000 loss of state revenues that we know is coming on top of the city manager's budget, that we could lose potentially another $900,000. Depending upon what the legislature does with the PFD, because that affects our sales tax. So I think it's incumbent upon all of us to not just look at the budget within the first year, the context of the year only, because if I did that, I would support this amendment. But I think we have to look a little bit long term, the next two or three years out. And my interest is in keeping the mill levy steady and not going up and down. I think, you know, we've kept it steady for the last 2 years, and I'd like for us to be able to keep it steady. I think that stabilizes the economy, and I think it's incumbent upon us to think long-term. And so it's a hedge against that greater uncertainty that is out there, that we know is out there. So it's not like we're guessing,
you know, there might be difficult times ahead. We know there's going to be difficult times ahead. And so in that regard, I think we're just better off maintaining the mill levy as it is so we can keep it that way for the next couple of years.
Okay. Ms. Purcell.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Keeping the mill rate the same, I think, is a really good idea. This is something that I would like to see stay the same rather than playing the shell game of assessments up, mill rate down, back and forth each year. Give people more of something that they can depend on, not this up and down and wondering if their property taxes are going to be higher or lower. I know the assessments change that, but then they get their assessments and then they have to wait for us to decide the mill rate. I'd like to see it just, if we could make a goal of just keeping it the same. I know that might not be reasonable years down the road, but for right now, I'm interested in looking at things like controlled spending and taking care of debt so that we don't have debt that we're passing off to the next generation. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Purcell. Any further comment? If you're ready for the vote, we'll call the roll, but remember, if the amendment passes, we'll be back to the main motion as amended. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Ms. Becker?
Yes.
Ms. Purcell?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Ms. Gladyszewski?
Yes.
Mr. Keel?
Aye.
Yes.
Mr. Nankervis?
No.
Ms. Troll?
No.
Ms. White?
No.
Mayor Kelsch,
yeah.
Purcell wants to.
We'll go back and
okay.
We'll finish it, and then I'll ask if.
Mayor Kelsch?
Yes. Now, does anyone wish to change their?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I wish to change mine. I'm sorry. I was thinking of the motion. My vote is no.
Five yay, four nay.
Okay. Now we're back to the main motion as amended. Is there any discussion? Madam Clerk, would you read the motion?
The motion is for Ordinance 2016-08, an ordinance appropriating funds. I'm sorry, I'm reading the wrong one. An ordinance establishing the rate of levy for property taxes as originally moved.
As amended.
As amended.
As amended.
As amended, excuse me.
Okay. Any further discussion? Is there objection? Objection noted. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Ms. Becker?
Yes.
Ms. Purcell?
No.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Ms. Gladyszewski?
Yes.
Mr. Keel?
Yes.
Mr. Nankervis?
No.
Ms. Troll?
No.
Ms. White?
No.
Mayor Kelsch?
Yes.
Motion passes 5 yay, 4 nay.
Okay, that brings us to Ordinance 2016-09. Madam Clerk?
Ordinance 2016-09, Version B, an ordinance appropriating funds from the Treasury for fiscal year 17 city and borough operations.
Mr. Manager.
This ordinance appropriates $345,925,200 for the city and borough of Juneau's fiscal year 17 operating budget, excluding the school district. It is necessary to appropriate all transfers between funds that support operations, debt service, and capital projects, as well as the associated expenditures within the funds themselves. These transfers account for $72,415,200 of the fiscal year 17 operating budget. The original ordinance was introduced at the April 4, 2016 Special Assembly meeting and referred to the Assembly Finance Committee for deliberation. The Finance Committee held 6 meetings on the budget. An opportunity for public comment was provided at a Special Assembly meeting on April 27, 2016. The Assembly Finance Committee moved the amended budget ordinance back to the full Assembly at its May 11, 2016 meeting. The charter requires adoption by June 15, 2016. I recommend this ordinance, as amended by the Assembly Finance Committee, be adopted.
Okay, no one has signed up for public comment. Mr. Nankervis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move ordinance 2016-09B. Move approval of ordinance 2016-09B, and I would ask for unanimous consent. Question.
Mr. Kill.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. is it necessary, given our vote, our amendment to the last ordinance, to change, make a conforming change in this ordinance? Since I think we're leaving, by Mr. Jones' amendment, about $300,000 more with the property owner, do we need to reflect that here tonight, or is that something that comes back to us in a later adjusting ordinance?
Mr. Manager?
Mr. Mayor, we'll bring the finance director up to answer that question.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So I just want to make sure. First, the previous motion was to go with the lower mill rate,
10.66.
Right. So that is an estimated reduction in property tax revenues of roughly $300,000. So this ordinance adopts expenditures based on the original revenue estimate. And so there would be at least two options, but the two main options would be if you adopted the ordinance as in the packet, then $300,000 would come out of fund balance to go into the overall budget, and specifically it could go, you could tie it to the deferred maintenance CIP, but it's really the overall budget would be $300,000 more than what had been proposed. And so you could either just take an additional $300,000 out of fund balance, or we would need to reduce expenditures by $300,000, and that could be done in the operating budget or the capital budget if you wanted to maintain the same draw on fund balance as the Finance Committee recommended. I think that's really, I'll restate it one more time. It's the draw on fund balance that will take up the $300,000 difference if we don't reduce expenditures, since we've reduced the property tax revenues. Or we have to reduce expenditures by $300,000 so that the draw on fund balance remains the same as it was as if you had raised the mill rate to 10.76.
Mr. Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I propose an amendment. I move an amendment to the ordinance to reduce from estimated revenue the taxes by $300,000 and to reduce from the capital project funds expenditure $300,000 with a conforming change in the totals. And that's intended strictly to conform to our action on the mill rate tonight, and to it would be my intention that we reduce that from the deferred maintenance CIP amount.
Discussion. Ms. Troll and then Mr. Nankervis.
Just a point of clarification. So it's from the leftover money that was going to deferred maintenance, it's not reducing the CIP budget by $300,000.
As I understand it, through Mr. Keel's proposal was to reduce the CIP expenditures in the appropriating ordinance by $300,000, and that specifically go to the deferred maintenance project, and that the offsetting reduction in property taxes be reflected in the taxes line in the appropriating ordinance. So it would be a reduction to the CIP budget proposed by the Finance Committee.
Does, if I may, Mr. Mayor, a follow-up then, does that mean like there were only three items on the CIP budget that were not constrained by the 1% sales tax or out to bid, which was the Centennial Hall, the pool? Does that mean we're reducing those line items by
$300,000? No. Mr. Troll, the Finance Committee amended the CIP resolution and added a deferred maintenance capital project. So we'd be reducing that specific project.
Okay.
If that's the direction.
Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Nankervis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Bartholomew just answered it for me. Thank you.
Mr. Jones.
Same.
Further discussion on the amendment? Is there any objection to the amendment? Seeing none, we're back to the main motion as amended. Is there any discussion on the main motion as amended? Is there any objection to the main motion as amended? Motion has passed. Brings us to Ordinance 2016-10. Madam Clerk.
Ordinance 2016-10, Version B, an ordinance appropriating funds from the Treasury for fiscal year 17 school district operations.
Mr. Manager.
This ordinance will appropriate to the school district a fiscal year 16 operating budget of $83,657,600. The FY 17... Excuse me, the FY 17 operating budget of $83,657,600. The fiscal year 17 school budget is supported with a combination of funding sources that include state support of $48.4 million, federal funding $4.9 million, user fees and permits $5.2 million, and local funding of $25.9 million. Local funding consists of $24,994,100 for general operations and $925,700 for activities funding outside the state cap. This includes funding of student activities, $740,700, food service, $40,000, pupil transportation of $50,000, and community schools, $95,000. The $24,926,000 in general operations support is an increase of $68,100 over fiscal year 16. The $925,700 for activities funding is an increase of $75,500 over fiscal year 16. The original ordinance was introduced at the April 4th, 2016 Special Assembly meeting and referred to the Assembly Finance Committee for deliberation. An opportunity for public comment was provided at a Special Assembly meeting on April 27th, 2016. The Assembly Finance Committee moved the amended ordinance at its May 11th, 2016 meeting. The charter requires adoption by May 31st, 2016. I recommend this ordinance, as amended by the Assembly Finance Committee, be adopted.
Okay. No one has signed up for public testimony. Mr. Nankervis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move adoption of Ordinance 2016-10B, and I ask for unanimous consent.
Mr. Jones.
I object just for a point, a couple of questions.
Certainly.
Mr. Manager, maybe Mr. Bartholomew, the legislature is not done. We're going to approve this budget before the 31st of May. One of the last actions that they took before they left and the budget came back in a conference committee was to reduce the $50 per pupil increase that was in the budget. I think it was reported in the paper that that possibly had an impact of $500,000 on the school district. Given that we, our funding formula is based on the amount of state support, if that comes out of the special session in 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a month, what's the impact on what we're doing tonight other than the reduction in state support? Would there be any impact on our contribution?
Mr. Jones, so I did have discussions with the finance director at the school district to talk about the what-ifs, and so it's our understanding that if the legislature took action that actually reduced the school district funding that came to local governments, that by state law we wouldn't be able to spend more than they appropriate, and the related adjustment that would happen to local funding. So if they were to take action that reduced the available funding, we would have to come back with an amended ordinance and reduce the amount of money available to the school district. And there would be, could be, it depends on how the formula works and it depends on how they adjust it, there may or may not be a reduction in local support, but could be a reduction in local support, but they definitely would be a reduction in state support. And with the charter requirement of May 31st, our discussion was, we thought it was prudent to recommend going ahead and moving forward, adopting a budget with the full understanding with the school district, knowing that we may be back if we have less funding.
Thank you. I remove my objection.
We have no objection unless... All right. The motion passes without objection. Which brings us to Ordinance 2015-20. Madam Clerk.
Ordinance 2015-20AN, an ordinance appropriating to the manager the sum of $312,205 as funding for the Runway Safety Area Construction Capital Improvement Project, funding provided by the Juneau International Airport.
Mr. Manager.
The Juneau International Airport match represents the value of fill material provided by Juneau to the Runway Safety Area Capital Project. The Federal Aviation Administration has authorized the in-kind contribution of fill material to be reported as local match on the CIP. This is the final appropriation of fill material revenues to the project and will bring the total up to $2,015,325 as approved by the FAA. The Airport Board approved this action at its April 12, 2016 meeting. I recommend you adopt this ordinance.
No one has signed up for public comment on this. Mr. Jones.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would move the approval of Ordinance 2015-20AN and would ask for unanimous consent.
Seeing no objection, it is approved. Madam Clerk, Ordinance 2015-20.
Ordinance 2015-20AO, an ordinance transferring $357,400 from the fire service area, the roaded service area, and the port development fee funds fund balance to the general debt service fund balance.
Mr. Manager.
This ordinance is a housekeeping measure to appropriate $357,400 to the General Debt Service Fund to cover capital lease payments for bunker gear, in-car video equipment, and payments for port revenue bonds. Funding is provided by the Fire Service Area, the Roaded Service Area, and the Port Development Fee Fund balance. In fiscal year 15 and 16, Capital City Fire Rescue and Juneau Police Departmental operating budgets included expenditure budget for the lease payments. The budget amounts were lapsed back to fund balance, and the lease payments were paid out of the General Debt Service Fund per governmental accounting standards. This ordinance moves the $112,600 from fund balances to the general debt service fund and makes it whole. The fiscal year 16 port development fee support to general debt service for the 2015-2 revenue bond payments was underestimated by $244,800. Sufficient fee revenues were collected in fiscal year 16 to cover the increased debt service payment. I recommend you adopt this ordinance.
No one has signed up for public comment. Ms. Purcell, would you move this, please?
Sure. I recommend the adoption of ordinance 2015-20AO and ask for unanimous consent.
Mr. Jones.
Just a question, if I might. In the manager's report, it says that the revenue bond payments were underestimated. I thought those were pretty much set when the bonds were sold, and that the sort of annual payments were pretty well laid out. I'm just curious how we could underestimate by $250,000 bond payments that are set out in a 20-year schedule.
Mr. Manager, through his finance director.
That's right.
So I'll ask the mayor if Mr. Jones could repeat the question.
The question was, in the manager's report, he says FY16 PDF support to the general debt service for the 2015 revenue bond payments was underestimated by $244,800. And I was wondering why, since as we issue bonds, we're given a printed statement that says how much the payments are each year, how that could be underestimated.
And I'd have to check my notes, but I think there were two things that were going on. We initially had to estimate, when we were preparing the budget, the timing of the issuance of additional bonds. So we had an original bond sale in 2014, and then we sold additional bonds. The original bond sale was for the Seawalk project that built the Seawalk to Franklin Dock. The second part of the bond sale was for the new cruise ship docks. And so when we estimated what date those bonds would be sold, which took place in FY16, we just were off on our timing. And now through this amendment, we're going to be back in sync, where the annual debt service payment schedules should be very straightforward, and we should be able to put the accurate amounts in each of the operating budgets.
Thank you. I remove my objection.
Are there any further objections? Was moved and asked for unanimous consent. Seeing no objection, ordinance 2015-20AO passes. Ordinance 2015-20AP. Madam Clerk.
Ordinance 2015-20AP, version B, an ordinance appropriating to the manager the sum of $100,000 as partial funding for Eagle Crest 2016 operating budget, funding provided by a restricted donation from the Eagle Crest Foundation.
Mr. Manager.
This ordinance will appropriate the receipt of $100,000 and a restricted donation from the Eagle Crest Foundation to the Eagle Crest Department. Due to low snowfall, Eagle Crest revenues were below operating expenditures in fiscal year 16. This will bring it to the correct amounts. The Assembly Finance Committee approved this action at its May 4, 2016 meeting. I recommend you adopt this ordinance.
No one has signed up for public testimony on this. Ms. Troll.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move adoption of Ordinance 2015-20APB and ask for unanimous consent.
Is there any objection? All right, we had one that had no objection. Passes. Okay, ordinance 2015-20AQ. Madam Clerk.
Ordinance 2015-20-AQ, an ordinance appropriating to the manager the sum of $12,767 as funding for seatbelt enforcement. Grant funding provided by the Alaska Department of Transportation and Public Facilities, Alaska Highway Safety Office.
Mr. Manager.
This ordinance would appropriate $12,766.80 to conduct seatbelt enforcement under the Click It or Ticket High Visibility Enforcement Program. Grant funding is provided by the State of Alaska Department of Transportation and Public Facilities, Alaska Highway Safety Office. Funding will cover the cost of overtime and benefits to officers working the grant, as well as the cost associated with vehicle use. There is no match required for this grant. I recommend you adopt this ordinance.
There is no one signed up for public testimony on this. Ms. Gladyszewski.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would move ordinance 2015-20-AQ, and I would ask for unanimous consent.
Is there objection? Seeing none, the motion passes. And it is the, I guess, the pleasure of the chair that we will go all the way to 2016-18 and just take a 5-minute break, because there's a lot of people signed up for testimony on that one. So let's continue on. Ordinance 2016-15, Madam Clerk.
Ordinance 2016-15, an ordinance amending the traffic code relating to driver's license violations and providing for a penalty.
Mr. Manager.
Mr. Mayor, this ordinance would have amended the CBJ traffic code by making code sections relating to driving without a valid license and driving with a canceled, suspended, or revoked license identical to state law. However, recent changes made by the state to their corresponding statutes require that this ordinance be amended. I recommend you take no action tonight on this ordinance, and that it be scheduled for a public hearing on June 13th, at which time you will receive an updated version.
Okay. Mr. Nankervis, would you so move that?
Mr. Mayor, I don't think I've so moved doing nothing before, but I can do that.
You're moving it to the June 13th meeting.
Okay. All right. The June 13th?
June 13th.
Okay. All right. And I might not be here, but I move we reschedule ordinance 2016-15 for public hearing on June 13th, 2016, and I would ask for unanimous consent.
Is there any objection? Done. Ordinance 2016-16. Madam Clerk.
Ordinance 2016-16, an ordinance amending the official zoning map of the city and borough to change the zoning of lots 26 through 38 and 40A of Block C, Vintage 2 subdivision, located on Clinton Drive and at 2797 Postal Way, from LC, light commercial, to MU, mixed use.
Mr. Manager.
In January 2016, an applicant applied to have lots 26 through 38 and lot 40A of Block C, Vintage 2 subdivision, located on Clinton Drive and at 2797 Postal Way, rezoned from light commercial to mixed use. A rezone from light commercial to mixed use complies with Title 49. The Planning Commission, at its regular meeting on April 12, 2016, recommended approval of the proposed rezone. I recommend you adopt this ordinance.
No one has signed up for public comment. Ms. Becker?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move approval of Ordinance 2016-16 and ask for unanimous consent.
Is there objection? Seeing none, the motion carried. Ordinance 2016-17, Madam Clerk.
Ordinance 2016-17, an ordinance amending the Uniform Sales Tax Code to include a definition for gross income.
Mr. Manager.
Finance staff has determined that it is necessary to formally define gross income for the purposes of the senior citizen sales tax hardship rebate program by including a definition of gross income in CBJ code. This definition of gross income will be based on the definition of gross household income as found in CBJ 6910005 in order to maintain consistency with the CBJ Assessor's Office hardship property tax exemption. I recommend you adopt this ordinance.
No one to sign up for public comment on this? Ms. White.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move adoption of Ordinance 2016-17 and ask for unanimous consent.
I object for a question.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. What has the city been doing without this gross income definition up to this point since it's been 5 months or so?
Through the mayor, Ms. Becker. So as applications have been coming in, the sales tax office has been following the same rules as the assessor's office has been using, and they've been just tracking any of the applications that that may have an issue where there could be a challenge because we didn't have this particular definition. But the what they've been using to evaluate applications was the definition that the assessor's office uses. The sales tax code needs to be amended so that their actions are defensible.
I'll remove my objection.
Okay. Is there any other discussion? Any other objection? Motion carried. Which brings us to 2016-18. I am going to, this is the ordinance repealing and readopting the City and Borough of Juneau Land Management Plan, and we'll come back to that after we take a brief at ease. I have six people signed up to testify. If there are others, please make sure that you sign up so we have your name and residency. You can sign up on the sheets with the clerk. We're going to take a 5-minute at ease, so just be back here by 7 after.
Support comes from Juneau Real Estate, whose mission is to be a community-conscious, client-oriented, customized service real estate company, where commitment means only working for clients on days that end in Y. More information at jre-realestate.com.
The Jensen Olsen Arboretum invites the public to come celebrate Juneau's Public Garden for Alaska Public Gardens Day on Saturday, May 28th from 9 a.m. until 5 p.m. Spend a day seeing plants from around the world, enjoying the grounds, and participating in tours. Children's activities will also be offered. The Jensen Olsen Arboretum is located at 23035 Glacier Highway, past the Shrine at Mile 23. More information about Alaska Public Gardens Day can be found on the Jensen Olsen Arboretum page on Facebook.
Support for this station comes from Sitka's Fly-In Fish-In, offering 10 oceanfront rooms near downtown with a full-service bar and restaurant, secure wireless internet, and other amenities. Information is available at flyinfishin.com.
And the time is 8:03. You have been tuned to KTOO FM in Juneau, Alaska, the live broadcast of the CBJ Assembly meeting. Tonight, tomorrow and Wednesday, it will be mostly cloudy and scattered showers, highs around 56 and lows in the mid-40s. And the assembly meeting is currently on about a 5-minute break, and we'll listen to some rad trads until they come back into session.
Amongst those cypress trees, I'd like to take her down to Frenchman Street to see the brass bands play. black hair. She'll fix you with her voodoo stare. She makes every single man she meets a turn to praying ways. Roll.
Ordinance 2016-18, Madam Clerk.
An ordinance 2016-18, an ordinance repealing and readopting the City and Borough of Juneau Land Management Plan.
Mr. Manager.
This ordinance repeals the 1999 Land Management Plan and adopts the 2016 Land Management Plan. The 2016 Land Management Plan provides direction on the best use of city-owned land, continues the land disposal program, promotes compact urban growth, and is a comprehensive reference document, including maps and tables for all city-owned property. The Planning Commission reviewed the plan at the December 22, 2015 meeting and recommend that the Assembly adopt the plan. On March 14, 2016, the Assembly Committee of the Whole adopted a motion to forward the draft 2016 Land Management Plan to the full Assembly for adoption. Adoption of the Land Management Plan provides direction to staff, but does not bind or constrain future assemblies to specific actions. For example, though the plan identifies certain properties for disposal, any actual conveyance would need to comply with Title 53. Land sales and leases are approved by ordinance, easements by resolution, etc. I recommend that you adopt this ordinance.
We do have public comment, and we have one, two, approximately nine people signed up for this. I would ask that you limit your comments to maybe 2 minutes each at the most. Most of you are committed workers, so you're not talkers, you're doers. So I don't think that will be too much of a handicap tonight. We'll see how it goes. Mr. Sidney, you are first.
My name is James Sidney. I live with my wife, Joanne, at Swampy Acres, 10400 Glacier Highway, which is kind of the spearhead and the what has been driving this meeting tonight, as the newspaper so appropriately wrote an article last week. I recommend wholeheartedly that they not adopt the 2016 recommendation, and they get rid of the 1999 as well and go back to square one and start over by having the Juneau Assembly and the Planning Commission help contractors and landowners develop their land without going in direct competition with us. I have 15 acres at Mountainside Estates that we've been trying to develop since the 80s, and it's been blocked at every obstacle possible. Tongues Guard has got 85 acres on West Juneau, up above the Petro Marine area, that he tried to develop and was shot down and has just pulled away from it. There is many parcels of property in this town that need the Assembly and the Planning Commission to help get developed without the borough going in direct competition with us. And I think I speak for a lot of people in this borough about this particular problem of direct competition with the people that live here and run this, try to get this property correct and get the people to have housing.
Okay. Are there any questions to Mr. Sidney? Mr. Jones.
Thank you. I've been on the Assembly for almost 4 years now. I've sat through almost 4 years of planning commissions, and I don't remember the issue about the property above Petro Marine. So can you tell me when that was turned down by the Planning Commission?
I don't have an actual recollection when Shorty's property up there was turned down or where they wouldn't let it follow through because of the sewer wasn't through, but it is now, and I haven't seen any recommendation from the Assembly going back to the property owners that have property that meet the general criteria of being on the bus line or being on city sewer or can be hooked to the city sewer and developed without this direct competition of developing this property that you removed from the tax rolls years ago. And I would have been way more involved in it if I hadn't had open heart surgery and have COPD and whatever else health issues I've had in the last 10 years. I would have been down here and sitting right there where you sat if I could have, because I tried, but I got vetoed by my family.
Thank you.
Ms. White.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Sidney, you might not be able to speak to someone else's property, but you said something about some property you had of your own.
Yeah, 15 acres off a mountainside.
And did that go as far as the planning commission, or what kind of roadblocks were you having?
They built a road right there above the tides that was connected to that property, and they put a cul-de-sac in with no access to the property. The assembly or the planning commission voted to not allow the property be accessed to Mountainside Subdivision, which we built. Only 7 lots were allowed, and the other 15 acres were excluded from it. And so the property has sat for 35 years, not being able to be developed.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Sidney. Yeah. We have Joe from 8477 Thunder Mountain. I can't read your last name, Joe. If you'd state your name and address, please.
My name is, for the record, my name is Joe Lassiter. I live at 8477 Thunder Mountain, number 86, with my wife, Janet. There's 3 different scenarios that I would like to touch, although I agree with Mr. Sidney wholeheartedly. I've lived in this community for close to 40 years. Economic-wise, just a quick list, I don't believe that the city can do it for that kind of money. I don't believe it because I've looked at that ground. A lot of peat. It opens the lawsuit. It opens the city to lawsuits, in my opinion, because I think it comes down on unfair competition to the developers. It increases the basic services, which any property would. It increases traffic farther from where those that so-called professionals work, which was stated in the newspaper article. If you're going to have the majority of the professionals in this town work downtown, if you're going to develop property for professionals, I would highly suggest across the board, whether it be economic, environmental, or social, to keep it as close to their workplace as possible. 16 mile, Jim? Your property?
No, 11
mile. 11 mile? Well, that's still 22 miles both directions. Can the city change zoning? That is kind of debatable because from my information, the city has just recently rezoned that property and a few surrounding properties, and it almost sounds like they're kind of rezoning in order to be able to develop that property. That would be the economic part. The social, if you're going to build, we're running out of land. Build up, not out. Build multifamily units instead of separate small homes. You'll save on heat. You'll save on everything across the board. The third and most important one of every part of information that I'm about to give is from the Department of Agriculture, United States Forest Service, and what this information does is it tells roughly how much carbon, solid carbon, is in 1 acre of timber. Now, that timber, that 400 acres, is almost 100 years old. The last time it was cut was somewhere right around 96 years ago. That's pretty nice timber. So what this paper does is it lists out just how much carbon is in that timber. Then it lists out how much carbon is in that topsoil. Now, I couldn't get information on how much carbon is actually in peat, but that ground has anywhere from a foot to probably close to 15 feet worth of peat. Now, that material all has to go away in order to build on it, because you cannot build on biodegradable stuff. It has to go away. So my question to the city is, first and foremost, how are you going to dispose of that material in a eco responsible way, because by the time you get done converting the amount that the forestry service says that it, the carbon in it, if you convert that to CO2, the total between just the timber and the topsoil, and that's not even taking into consideration the peat, comes out to 311,000 tons. Now, to make that more available for the majority of people to visualize, I broke that down into how many cars that would be
okay,
on the
can
road.
You summarize? Because
you betcha. Once you clear that 400 acres, you've just put on the road 51,869 cars for that year. And then, because of the loss of the ability for that land to sequester, you've lost roughly 252 cars a year even after that. In other words, 252 cars worth of CO2 stays in the atmosphere because that's no longer there. Because once you build over it, it's dead ground. That's my testimony, and if anybody wants to look up the paperwork, I will leave the address in order to be able to find the documentation.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Are there any questions?
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Nancy Waterman.
I'm Nancy Waterman. I live at 227 Gastineau Avenue, and I am here to speak in favor of adopting this land management plan with one caveat. Before any significant development in the West Douglas area can occur, the new growth area at the end of the Douglas Highway, a master plan must be prepared and approved by the CBJ Assembly in accordance with the requirements provided in the Land Use Code and the Comprehensive Plan. Many people are immersed in Title 49 and the Comprehensive Plan and know it very well, but many public people don't. So I think the comment on page 67 should simply be rewritten so that it reads Northwest Douglas Island and the detail, period. This parcel should be managed in a manner that complies with the Land Use Code, Chapter 49.70, Specific Area Provisions, comma, Article 1, New Growth Areas, and Chapter 6 and Plat 1 of the West Douglas Conceptual Plan, dated May 1997, as incorporated in the Comprehensive Plan under CBJ 49.05.200B1, capital G. And I'll leave this with the clerk. Thank you for adopting the land management plan.
Okay. Any questions, Ms. Troll?
Do you have additional copies of the requested
changes? I just
changes?
Made one copy, Ms. Troll. Sorry, I don't have additional copies.
I would like a copy as I was trying to record the words, but I don't quite get it.
And, yeah, thank you.
I couldn't follow what was going on.
Thank you.
I think the deputy manager is going to make your copy.
Thank you.
Mr. Coogan.
Wayne Coogan, 3000 Fritz Cove. 2 years ago, we came in here, a group of builders and developers, and you asked us what we could do to alleviate housing crisis. And among the things was the city should seek to liquidate or make available land. Okay, then after that, the folks that came in to make the recommendation went back out and went back to the grindstone, and the city went to work on this land disposal effort, and the ball was dropped. We should have stayed involved. We should have stayed communicating. If you look on page 94 of the plan, the draft plan, It begins to go down, and it talks about a series of steps that are taken in order to dispose of large tracts. You know, there's various things, obviously, the city has to go through to do this. And I see a step that's missing, and that is there should be a heading in here that says something along the lines of seek out those in the industry and collaborate and get a consensus or get advice to assure that your imprint on the market or whatever you're doing is logical and rational, and it makes sense. Now, going back in time, not every one of us agreed and said that the city should make land available, but that was a consensus. And what obviously you're not going to have a complete consensus. Someone's going to get hurt if the city goes in and does things and sells land, obviously. But I'm thinking that we should revisit this plan a little bit and add that provision. And hopefully find a little bit more consensus for more than one reason, not just to protect businesses out there and developers, but also to help the city avoid eventualities like they found up behind Fred Meyers a few years back in their ventures.
Okay. Mr. Coogan, will you wait a second? Are there questions? Thank you, Mr. Coogan. Rich Harris.
Hello, my name is Rich Harris with Thorough Reach Development. I'm opposed to the land management plan as written. I believe it might be a bit misguided, at least with regards to the Peterson Hill subdivision. I just wanted to do a couple of points. I do feel like it is competing with me somewhat directly. I have a similar subdivision, same size lots. I've been working on it for going on a year and a half. I have every permit that I need except for a CBJ grading permit. That's the only permit that I'm missing. And it does seem like, you know, at times there's the city moving into the subdivision business is getting harder on my end. And outside of that, I just some points I wanted to make on the subdivision. I just did some quick math and some scaling of this street system. And where it was talked about 40 lots to be created, it looks as though, and I mean, it could be wrong, maybe Greg could correct me on this, but 2,310 lineal feet of street to be created just to access the first 40 lots. And then I look at the bids from the Renager subdivision, which start out at $2,095 a lineal foot. And that's on the lowest accepted bid. And if you go to the highest bid, it's over $3,000 a lineal foot. If you do the math on that, and then also realize that Peterson Hill is not flat land, it's a hillside development. It's going to be expensive. So it's probably going to hit the higher end of these numbers. And so if you do the lineal foot math of that, I came up with, in the first 40 units, $6,930,000. That's divided by 40 lots. That's $173,000 a lot. So I don't know where the math came in at $80,000 per lot to be into it. And even if it was $80,000 per lot, you're talking about selling the lots at $80,000 per lot, which what is the benefit to the public at selling a lot at the cost of building and creating it? It doesn't this is the land the city and the members of the public owns. And if you have this land, it seems like you should sell it for profit for the city so that the city can utilize that funds for something else. If you're just going to develop it to sell it, it doesn't seem like it's a real benefit to the community. I also wanted to point out in the land management plan, under land management policy, CBJ 5309010, if you go to the last sentence, it says that the idea behind this land management plan is to stabilize land values without making land available for purposes of speculation. I don't see how you can do a speculative subdivision and do that. It doesn't make any sense. Those are just some of the points I wanted to make. And again, like I said, I'm not in favor of this as written at all. And I got to answer any questions if I could.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Harris. Are there any questions? Ms. White.
Yes, Mr. Harris, you said you have a subdivision that you're working on, and you've got all your other permits except for the city grading permit?
Yeah.
Does that mean you're just getting started on
No.
With the city?
No. We've been going at this now for, I think it's 6 months since we started the preliminary plat process and grading permit process.
Okay.
I could get into details of this, but I'm going to tell you it isn't good. It's bad. Title 49 subdivision change, it should be thrown out. The thing is a disaster as far as I can tell. It doesn't seem like anybody knows how to implement it. It's been going on for a long time. Like I said, I could get deep into this, and I'm not going to do that right now. It's just not been a pleasant experience. And it seems as though with the city moving into the subdivision business, my subdivision is being much harder. I've done three other subdivisions in the past, major subdivisions, and they've lasted 2 months, maybe 3 months. I've got 6 months, and the idea behind Title 49 subdivision was to simplify the process and create predictability. I can tell you right now I have none of that 6 months into it.
Thank you.
Ms. Troll.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. It's my understanding that the land management plan just speaks to dispose of the land at Peterson Hill. It doesn't direct how to dispose of it. You know, we could dispose it. We could give negotiated sales, concealed bids to the private developers to develop. So the decision before us really isn't do we set $80,000 as a lot or any of that. And we could decide to turn major chunks of it over to the private sector. So it's just to put it out there that this is land that the city should look to dispose of. So just knowing that, do you still have strong objections to the land management plan?
I believe that it should be revisited maybe and look at some of the things that it talks about. It says that they don't have to be done even though they're in the plan, but I think that if it's in that plan, it's probably going to be utilized and accessed and done. The numbers don't work, so I don't want you making a decision off of faulty numbers. They just don't work.
Right. We're not making a decision tonight on those numbers.
Yeah, it's just for the plan itself.
All right.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you.
So I would, I guess, be in agreement with it if it was maybe revisited and restructured a few things.
Thank you, Mr. Harris.
Thank you.
Next one is Margaret, 300 Glacier Wood. Again, if you could state your name and your resident address, especially your last name, please.
Thank you. My name is Margaret O'Neill. I live at 3001 Glacierwood Drive. I'm the current chair of the Affordable Housing Commission, but I'm not speaking for the Affordable Housing Commission. I also work for Juneau Economic Development Council, and I started working on housing issues, including the disposal plans in 2012. And in 2012, when we were looking at the concept of the City and Borough of Juneau developing Peterson Hill and Schweitzer, we were provided cost estimates that ranged from $43,000 for developing tracks 3 and 4 of the Way of the Dowell Engineer Study, which I believe was an access study, to over $100,000 for sections 1 and 2, and then the total dwelling units that were anticipated to be developed or made accessible by the development by CBJ was under 200 units. And now we have changed the zoning to D10, a large portion of which is single family constrained. The costs, as far as I know, for developing it these original costs were just to develop major arterial roads and bring subdivisions to large tracks rather than to each individual 5,000 square foot lot. And Greg Cheney said at our last Affordable Housing Commission that he thought that the lots could be developed for $80,000 each. And I'm not sure if that was all these 200 lots or if it was just this first phase, which would be about, I think, 70. But in any case, at $80,000 a lot for development, you don't get affordable housing. if the target price range for the buyer is between $250,000 and $275,000, which is what we've been looking for, that means that at $250 a square foot, which seems to be the consensus for what it takes to build a home, you get a 680 square foot or 780 square foot single family house. And I don't know how attractive that is to anyone. But if you are looking for an entry level senior family home between 1,000 and 1,500 square feet, those costs on top of $80,000 means that the price of the house is between $330,000 and $455,000, which on the high end of that scale is 65% more than what we're shooting for in terms of a price. Now, alternatively, if you want to subsidize the development, you can get to $250,000 on top of an 80,000 square foot, $1,000 or $80,000 lot price and $1,000 square foot if you give the lot away, because otherwise the builders have to build at $170 a square foot, and if you want a 1,500 square foot house, it's $130 a square foot. I don't think anybody here can build for that. And so my frustration with this process is that even though the land management plan, you're still looking at making decisions, some of those decisions have already been made. The lot's already been rezoned in a kind of a restrictive zone. That single family D10 SF is restrictive. And, you know, costs have been incurred. So,
hey, Ms. O'Neill, could you summarize?
So I would just like to encourage you to go back to the drawing board and really look at the costs before determining to going forward like this and do a market study. Thank you.
Mr. Keel?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Ms. O'Neill, I guess I'm a little confused about whether you're speaking specifically about the Peterson Hill proposal or about the plan, because the plan does call for doing market studies before disposal.
Well, it also recommends proceeding with, if you look at the recommendations that are on page 112 regarding Peterson Hill, it says the Peterson Hill development shall be completed in phases, so it commits the city to developing the property. And the first phase, you know, we're going to do 40 units, 40 single-family lots. I think there were more than that. But I do think that when you have a disposal plan, how the property is going to be disposed of, what the target areas are, what prices you're shooting for, all of those things should be part of an initial analysis that happens before you go down the road too far. And I think we're down the road. I hope that answers your question.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Thank you, Ms. Solano.
Thank you.
Kathleen Shazbury.
Kathleen Strasbaugh, 415 Willoughby. I, too, am a member of the Affordable Housing Commission like Ms. O'Neill and Mr. Coogan, but I am not speaking for the commission, only for myself as a private citizen. I have two concerns. I hesitate to interpose an objection to the land use plan because I'm not as well-versed in it as some of the other people that have testified, but I have two observations. One of them concerns the alignment of the plan with the Housing Action Plan, the draft plan that is coming soon to an assembly meeting near you, but it's I feel that, in particular with respect to Peterson Hill, which is specifically mentioned in the plan, and in general, that I appreciate the land use management plan's emphasis on housing, but I am concerned about whether the density of the proposed development that is mentioned in the plan, as Ms. O'Neill pointed out, as the first phase of Peterson Hill is appropriate. There are the cost issues that have been raised, but there's also the question about whether there should be any multi-family common wall, other types of housing that might allow ownership but make the particular units less expensive and more affordable, particularly for those that fall below 80% of median. The second point I wanted to make, and this is also from the draft plan, I don't think that the disposal that, as Mr. Coogan pointed out, was called for by some developers is really going to truly injure the private sector, because one of the problems the Housing Action Plan identifies is the fact that the private sector has not been able to deliver affordable housing, partly because of cost. There are many other considerations, and that if once a variety of housing is made possible, people will be able to move, and then when they're able to move, they can buy the large home on a large lot. But right now, and the market, as the plan points out, has the capacity to take in an awful lot more housing, and that if we don't do anything about housing, our economy is in trouble, which will lower the available buyers for whatever anyone has to offer. Thank you.
Please, does anybody have any questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mr. DiAzzi.
Thank you.
Sir, if you'll state your name and residence.
My name is Leroy Diaz, 1821 Wickersham Avenue. I'm concerned. I've been in the trades for 35, 40 years. I've lived down south, California, Washington. One thing I know about this trade, we're all forced by greed. We get used to making a certain amount of money. A developer, he buys land, rolling the dice, thinking he's going to make money. What I'm concerned about, I want my kids to have their own house. Not going into debt, paying, or with the thought of losing because they can't make the money I make right off the bat. First-time home buyers. With this, I say, when I was down south watching it go on, everybody looked at me and said, oh, what's he know? I proved people wrong, started off at the bottom, come to the top to become a supervisor. After a while, I was the headhunter. When things got out of control, I was asked to assess the workers because the city or some other entity wanted something else to make it even, to get it back in control. I applaud the city for trying to do so. I think this is a dangerous situation. I would like to see it resolved, but I'd also like it to be done with the thought of our kids in mind. When I say our industry is resilient, we will find a way. I hear things about numbers. To me, it's a dog and pony show. It's to baffle you. I look into California's problems. Look into Washington's problems. All this stuff I put blame on developers for driving up the cost over greed.
Hey, Mr. Diaz, do you want to summarize for us, please?
I just said I would like to say, proceed with caution. Don't be baffled by numbers. Look into it. Look into Washington. Look into California. That's all I have to say.
Okay. Are there any questions? Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Marciano, Duran.
Marciano Duran, 7523 Vista del Sol Drive. I'm against the land management plan as it sits right now. I think it needs additional work, and I think it can be accomplished through the assembly, the plan commission, and developers getting together to come up with a solution that's going to work. We realize that there's a housing shortage and something needs to be done, and I appreciate the steps that are being taken, but there's just not enough steps being taken that are coming to fruition to making things happen. So I think a big part of it is the miscommunication or the gathering of people like you, the folks sitting here, to get together and come up with the ideas and come up to fix the problem we're having. As far as rich developers and all that goes, my taxes are paid, by the way. City taxes are paid. We own about 155 acres and access to 48 more acres throughout the borough of Juneau, and we have a burden to pay taxes. The city doesn't. For the city to have come and compete against somebody like me, they have an advantage right there alone. You don't have to come up with the money and for payroll and for material costs, and materials fluctuate, and they always fluctuate to the upper end. So to try to get affordable housing, it's a burden. It really is. But you have developers in this room that are trying to meet that need, and we still, you know, need assistance from the city in coming up with a solution again to resolve that. Now, another disadvantage, one of the parcels that we have is I have 5 acres on Pedersen Street off of Menahal Peninsula. About a month and a half ago, I went in with a 6-lot subdivision, something simple, get it out of the market, just for somebody can buy a lot, they can build whatever they want on that parcel. When I went in there, the planning planner told me all the reasons why it couldn't work and why it's not going to fit this Title 49 plan. The lot size needed to be 36,000 square feet, and we were at 32 to 38,000 square feet in the lots. So then you come up with this plan, and we have 5,000 square foot lots that are approved by the city. I mean, how's that fair? And how's that? We were going to bring in the water line, on-site sewer, and then we were told that we not only had to pave the subdivision that we're going with the cul-de-sac, but also the street that connects from Menahal Peninsula, Pedersen Street, up to their new subdivision. So there you go, an additional cost that doesn't make sense that we need to bear, but apparently it's in Title 49 code. So I think that in itself is a problem that needs to be looked at. And you know, I think that the city in itself is trying to do something. We're all on the same page here, but we just need to come together for the right solutions. I think Pedersen Street is not one. I think 86 acres on the market is going to flood the market, and it's not healthy for Juneau to now or in our future. I think a just easy, steady growth is what we should all strive for.
Ms. Grant, any questions or comments? Ms. Gill.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The plan, as I've read it, Mr. Duran, doesn't talk to a disposal schedule. It doesn't talk to how fast. And I'm inclined to agree. If we punch roads into 86 acres at 5,000 square feet, we'd crash things pretty ugly. Is there some absorption rate for small lots that wouldn't crash the market? I mean, is there some number that the city could put on?
Well, here's what I think, and this is what I heard. Mr. Cheney had proposed, and he said that Clinkin Haida was interested in, I think, 40 lots or something. And that's a different segment of the market that we're into. You know, and again, I said I applaud Clinkin Haida to do something like that. If they could absorb, I think, 40 lots, and they've got them pre-sold, say, I mean, I don't have a problem with that. But it does, now keep in mind, it does set tone for that subdivision in the future 46 lots, because we bought 5 lots in Kanata Day, and we were trying to get starter homes for folks, and it was a hard sell. It was just the area. It was a hard sell, and I'm not, you know, again, bravo for Clink and Haida. They're meeting the need. But when you're saying starter homes for developers like myself to go into an established neighborhood, then it's a little more difficult for us to market, and it took a while for us to sell those homes.
Hmm. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Durant. Mr. Hanna.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Dave Hanna, 11495 Mendenhall Loop Road. Mr. Coogan started out with his comments. We're back exactly what I wanted to say about the plan itself, and that's kind of the lack of early entry cooperation with developers, because if I read the plan correctly, it says the city borough should not be competing with the private sector. And it sounds to me like some of the things that we're contemplating through the land management plan will do exactly that. A lot of folks are talking about the Peterson Hill subdivision. And the first thing I'd like to say is I compliment Greg, because it's a pretty cool subdivision. But it does have some problems, because if I understand it correctly, the charter says we have to sell the lots at market value. So if we're doing that, I don't understand how we create affordable housing. If we have to charge the same price for the lots as the developer sells them for, I don't see how we're bringing down the cost of housing. I really don't think the city should be in that market anyway. I'd like to see the city dispose of land, but I think like this Renninger subdivision, where we're making it available for AHFC projects, we're making it available for the home building program, which incidentally got their funding robbed many years ago, that it needs to have money put back into it. But partnerships with Clink and Haida for affordable housing programs, those are all things that I think the city should get involved with and make city land available for. This is a sort of need the city can fulfill. But when we're trying to compete with regular housing, with regular developers, that's kind of an onerous situation. And I think there's other ways to get affordable housing. So I would have two suggestions. And one would be perhaps sell large tracts at raw land market price to developers and see what they can do with it. And the other is, you could offset the complaints that you've heard from some of the other developers about the fact that they have land and they don't have the costs that the city have. And I would wonder if it would be possible to make low or no interest loans to construct city streets on private subdivisions and hold the lots as collateral until they sell and repay the city. I would bet you dollars to donuts that private sector can build those streets a lot cheaper than the city can. We've seen the numbers that have come in from Richie about the Renninger subdivision, the price per lineal foot to put in those. Just remember, the city has a 40% overhead on all of their projects. Those projects, when they go out to bid, have to be done by contractors that are paying prevailing wage. There's a lot of costs that don't have to be borne by the private sector. So if they had the funds available and they weren't worried about making payments for, say, 3 to 5 years, I'll bet you'd see a lot of subdivisions come online. Thank you.
Yep. Hold on, Mr. Hanna. Yep. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Roscoe Bicknell.
Roscoe Bicknell, 555. Montana Creek Road. I oppose this ordinance as it's written. I think there's a lot of work that could be done and some other directions that could go for future land development and disposal of city property.
Okay. Do we have any questions? Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
That's everyone that we have signed up. Is there anyone that missed signing up? Okay, now close public testimony. We are with you.
I think so.
You ready?
Yep.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move adoption of Ordinance 2016-18.
Mr. Jones.
I object. I'd like just to ask a question. Mayor pointed out to me earlier today that the fourth whereas, there was a wrong date. I was just wondering if we need to make an amendment to fix that, or can that just be done?
I have the authority just to
to fix the typo.
Okay. And if I might, I have some other questions.
Certainly.
I know a lot of the testimony tonight has been on the Pedersen Hill and some comments on the Renninger subdivision. And I managed to sit through quite a few of the presentations that the Lands Department made to the Planning Commission related to the land use plan. I will admit that I got lost often. I don't know whether it was the visualizations or I couldn't find it in the black and white, and there was color copies around, but it was very difficult for me to follow. I did not attend any of the public meetings that were held over a month or month and a half's time, but I don't think there was a lot of public came out. And I've sat through the Planning Commission review of some of the subdivisions. I've sat through the Lands Committee on the Renninger subdivision. I wasn't very happy with that process, but I wasn't on the committee. I tried to look at the plan that's before us along with the economic development plan. There seems to be a common thread with the Pedersen Hill and Renninger subdivision flowing through both those. I know we've talked about both those for a long time on the assembly. When I ran 4 years ago, I think Pedersen Hill was was part of the plan for the lands division at that time, and some idea of what they wanted to do. And I'm trying to sort out what my feelings are related to what the plan hints at or talks about versus sort of the implementation steps that I've seen that I disagree with. And I'm not, and that division from in my mind is not coming out very well. And I understand that a lot of developers don't want to see this plan approved because of some of the implementation issues. And I guess I come down on the side of I'm not sure I want to vote to approve this tonight either. Not because of sort of maybe what's in the plan, but I know there was a lot of discussion at the Planning Commission related to lands that are controlled by docks and harbors or lands that are controlled by Parks and Rec. Recommendations from Parks and Rec to purchase new lands. Recommendations from Parks and Recs to sell lands. We haven't talked about any of that in any assembly committee. We haven't talked about that at the full assembly. I don't think this assembly has had any meetings where we've actually been briefed on or delved into the land use plan except for one COW. And I don't know whether it was just us or how it was presented, but I don't remember a whole lot of questions about a lot of detail that are in this plan. There's a lot of individual lots all over the place. And just for those reasons that probably makes my ramblings just now very uncomprehensible, I found all the presentations on this plan to be very uncomprehensible for me. And I think for those reasons, I'm not in support of approving this tonight. I may be in the future. I may be if we can get some better review of it. We actually sit down and go over it and see if it merges with what we want to do. But right now, I can't support this for a variety of reasons, the most of which is I'm really confused about what it actually does. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Merrill. Ms. White.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I do share some of Mr. Jones' concerns, but for slightly different reasons. In fact, the city's actually been talking about Pedersen Hill since at least 2001. That was the year that I saw the first imaginary plat of what they thought they were going to do with it until they found out how much it costs to build streets and build their own codes and that sort of thing. And I still feel no differently than I did when I ran for assembly. I feel the city needs to dispose of land. I'm not sure that the Peterson Hill idea is the way. We heard from developers tonight that brought up their frustrations in dealing with community development and trying to get plats and do things that make sense. I think we've got a long ways to go on that. And even though the lands manager gave us this report on his draft management plan on February 1st, he has asked us for feedback. And I have to admit, I haven't given him any because I almost feel like we need to break it into some smaller chunks or have some small working groups and maybe a group of developers and a few city people and maybe one of us. Just like I've been advocating that maybe when somebody's putting in an idea for a subdivision, maybe one of us should be following that so that we can learn what those frustrations are, what those problems are, because I certainly hear about developer concerns, and we've got a room full of developers that have concerns. Some of them own a great deal of land. This isn't our problem. That's our problem. We paid a great deal of money for a consultant, CZB, and their recommendation was, you don't have a housing problem, you have a government problem. That was the first thing the guy said to us. And while this is trying to figure out which land we keep, which land we sell, I think our problems are way deeper than that, and I've believed that for a long time. So I'm not ready to pass it either because it's just another plan that's probably going to sit on a shelf. Mm-hmm. Sort of like the West Douglas development plan that was printed in 1997. So, I'm not ready either.
Ms. Becker.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. First, I just want to say thank you to the builders who have shown up tonight because this is very important to have you here. And when we worked on all of those things, impediments to stop building, you were here and you worked on it and you gave lots of ideas. It seems like some of them are not working because you're mentioning them again. So that's of a concern to me. I think the thing that bothers me about the land management plan after listening to you is that I can read this and say, you know, that makes kind of sense, but I don't know what complications something has when you're really a builder. And I think that's the part we're hearing tonight, is that you do this, and this is what happens. I mean, I want to see us do more, and I would like to see if we can talk to builders to come back one more time and give some input, because when they do, and the developers do come and help us, we get some good information that we need to use. So I'm not ready to vote on this either, because I don't think it's ready. Thank you.
Okay. Further discussion? Mr. Nankervis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Actually, I will speak in favor of the motion. I appreciate all the things we've heard tonight, and I think what it boiled down to is that there was more concerns about a specific development than there were overall with the comp plan of itself. It was how we implement the comp plan, I think, that I heard the concern over, and I frankly can sympathize with that concern. I guess I look at this as a big document. We've had time to look at it. Some of us have gotten back with the Lands Department and discussed things. I look at this more as a guideline. And I don't think anything is written in stone. If anything is going to happen with any plot of land around here, it has to come back before this body. And we say what we approve what will or won't happen with that plot of land. But as I was just reminded by Ms. White holding this up, the land plan up, the land management plan, I thought of the comp plan and Mr. Jones' comments about speaking about the land management plan. I don't recall us sitting here with the revised comp plan and going through it paragraph by paragraph either, but we had plenty of time to look at it and we all looked at it, and I think this land management plan is much like the comp plan. You can look in it, and if you want to find things you don't like, you're going to find things you don't like. If you want to look in it, you'll find things you like. So I view it more as a guideline. I think it is an attempt to try and follow the direction that this body has set to date and meet an attempt to try and meet what the people in the majority of the people in this community have said they wanted. Thank you.
Ms. Fletcher, Steve.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. From the article in the paper and the comments today, there's obviously concerns about the specific development of Peterson Hill, but the Assembly has been talking about that for a long time, long before I got here. Just what the land plan says about it is a very general statement. This is from the recommendation page. It says that the Peterson Hill development should be completed in phases. The first phase could include construction of an access road and 40 single-family lots. After this phase, it could include CBJ as lead. Anyway, the language is very general, and it's not prescriptive. And the idea that the city is going to for sure sell a lot for $80,000 and require a developer to build a house for $300,000, like I read in the paper, that's just not true. There are in some meetings, land manager has said we would hope to sell a lot for $80,000. That was aspirational, and it was what the current calculation possibly was. It certainly isn't a requirement, and it certainly isn't a requirement. You must build a house for $300,000. So that's just incorrect information. And I think that this plan has been out for a long time. Could it be tweaked some more? Probably, but I think I'm certainly ready to pass it. It is in general, and I think it's in a general way implementing what the Assembly has wanted to do. We talked about, for example, for about housing, to do something differently. And we hear city should dispose of its land. And this is a list of land that is available for disposal. Every single one of those would come before the Assembly. Every single plan would come before the Assembly. Subdivision, if it ever got to a subdivision plan, would come before us. So I think this is the appropriate level of review we've had, and I am ready to pass it. I do, however, I was very happy to hear all the developers here, and we should get the group back together and start the band again.
Okay. Ms. Troll?
Thank you. I'm somewhat in the same lines as Ms. Gladyszewski and Mr. Nankervis in that this land management plan is a blueprint. It's really very much the 30,000-foot level. It says these are lands we need to consider to dispose of, and many of the recommendations are retained / dispose. You know, it's showing the flexibility, and it's a great inventory of our land that is available. Obviously, we have a lot more work to do on the Peterson subdivision, but as Ms. Gladyszewski said, the language in the plan just talks about could. It's just putting ideas out there. And I think based on the public input that we've had tonight, it's really clear. We've got to do a lot more work on fleshing out the details of how to make Peterson Hill work to meet our housing needs and how to meet that objective of not competing directly as much with the private sector. How do we nudge things along and bring them along with us? Those are the next level of discussions that we need to have on the Peterson Hill thing. And this plan just simply is the blueprint. It's been before us to the committee of the whole. And prior to that, the land manager held public workshops. It's been before the Planning Commission. So it's been vetted as a blueprint. And all these fine, detailed questions that are coming before us now have yet to be answered. And I really appreciate that they've been so well articulated. But I think it's time to act on these things if we want to make things work. And I don't want this plan to sit on the shelf. I want to make it go to the next level, but we can't get to the next level without this approval.
Okay, I'm going to return to Ms. White unless someone wants to speak that hasn't spoken yet.
I can wait.
Okay. I was actually hoping that I could ask Mr. Cheney a few questions and perhaps give him an opportunity to help me separate the issues out. I see him frantically writing notes and looking really worried and hoping at some point before retirement he gets this thing through. So could I ask him some questions, please? Can you come up?
Good evening.
Good evening. Yes, I saw you getting really worried. And I know that you've put a great deal of work into this, and perhaps in my brain I'm starting to cloud some of the issues, but some people see this as an inventory of what we own and what we're going to keep and what we're going to sell or what's up for negotiation. And some people say that this is the development plan that includes that what you put line by line in there about Peterson Hill, for example, is gospel. Can you please help me?
Wow. Okay. There's a lot in the land management plan, as you pointed out. Peterson Hill seems to be the area where people are generating the most concern. And some of that's from the newspaper article that I don't know if it quite got the point across, but I'd like to clear a couple things up. The one statement in the article was that we were going to sell lots for $80,000, and that is not what I intended to communicate. It was that we were hoping to be able to develop the subdivision for $80,000 per lot. That's aspirational, as Ms. Gladyszewski said. What we sell them for is entirely up to you. Currently, the our lands code says that we will sell for fair market value, but assembly is in charge of making decisions about how much we sell the property for. So that could be adjusted with the help of the city attorney to make sure we're doing it properly. And there was also concern that the Peterson Hill subdivision is going to cost $170,000 per lot, which we've hired engineering firms to do analysis, and that's not anywhere close to what we've been told, but we haven't got a final number for you, and when we do, we will be back talking about those details. The land management plan is a very general document, covers thousands of acres. We own, we plan to keep more than we're going to sell by several orders of magnitude, and so there is plenty of discussion for individual disposals as they come up. But mostly it's a plan on how to keep our development more towards the core, more efficient, and gives us a blueprint for going forward. I did want to mention that in the currently active 1999 plan, it says conduct subdivision feasibility study and prepare a sketch plan for future development of Peterson Hill. So it's not a new idea. Taking a while to get there, but we're trying.
One more little question. Okay, in your list on where you have, you know, the retain and dispose and the possibilities. If it says if we adopt this plan and it says retain in this book. Does that mean that we are stuck retaining it until the next one? I mean, are there any exceptions ever? You and I emailed back and forth about one sliver of land as a potential, but I mean.
Right. Okay. This list that you're referring to, which is the very detailed list of each lot and its potential for disposal, there's a few things. One, we're including with this a biannual update, so in 2 years we'll be back with this plan, not 17 years later. And so this won't get us out of date, so if you wanted to dispose of a property that says retain, you could update it at that time. You also have the authority to update it anytime. So if there is ever a lot that you find that is listed as retain and you don't think that's appropriate anymore, that could be modified as well. But it's generally intended as a guideline
so that we have some direction for moving forward.
Basically, so you don't have to come to the assembly every day to figure out what you're doing in your job.
That would be my goal, yes.
Okay. I mean, I'm just, that's why I wanted to give you this opportunity. I guess I'm undecided now.
Mr. Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm going to speak in favor of adoption as well, and mostly for the things that we haven't talked about yet tonight. A couple of members talked about the value of going through a whole bunch of parcels that the city owns and deciding what we should retain and what we should think about disposing of at some point. Obviously, it's not a quick process. and I think that's really important. But also for some of the goals and the approaches that this sets forward and how we ought to look at it, how Mr. Cheney and eventually his successor, 25, 30 years from now when he retires, bring things back to us and to future assemblies, I should say. And I just kind of want to highlight a couple of those. One of the important things to me is that it says in a couple of different places that we should be looking at the market, because I think, as we heard a number of developers say tonight, it wouldn't be appropriate for us to crash land values. And the plan, I think, makes clear that we're looking to expand the supply of land available, especially for housing, but in a responsible way. I think at one point it says it should be our goal not to unreasonably compete with the private sector. It's on page 95. It also says that if vacancy rates, housing vacancy rates in Juneau get to a healthy level, and I can't remember if that says 5% or if it says 6%, but there's a 5%. We should pause the land sales button. And I think that's a reasonable target, so that this becomes a stabilizer in the housing market, but not a market distortion, because there are a lot of people who've invested a lot of time and money over the decades in land and in building housing. The goal is to make things better, not to bankrupt anybody. The plan also says, it identifies, we talked about already, a number of lots we want to retain for important public purposes, and it talks about a couple of key reasons we might want to acquire more land, but it says it's our goal to minimize city acquisitions of land. And from my years on the assembly, it's been my sense that there's a significant piece of the community that thinks that's exactly what we should do. I don't have any problem trying to find a place for a fire hall in Lemon Creek. But I think that we own a fair amount of land. We're managing it fairly responsibly. And I appreciate the goal that we should limit the temptation to acquire more without some really compelling public purpose. So those items hadn't really been part of the discussion tonight, and I think they're important. I think they're strengths of this plan. And so I'm going to vote yes.
Any further discussion from the assembly? I have a question. Can this be adopted without Peterson Hill in it?
Certainly, it could be. It's we own over 26,000 acres. Peterson Hill, the lot in total is not that large a percentage. So it's possible to adopt it without that. I would like to have some direction on how to proceed with Peterson Hill. If you would prefer, we could have COW on that item if it's of interest in particular. But it's entirely up to you.
Trying to bring the assembly to consensus on this one. So if there's an amendment to remove Peterson Hill and bring it to the COW, we can do that. If not, we'll proceed to vote. Ms. Kroll?
Mr. Mayor, I'm not necessarily supporting an amendment to remove the Peterson Hill thing because the language is very general. It says we could do all these things, but I certainly would support us working on Peterson Hill in a committee of the whole work session that also included many of the developers. So I'm all for working on it, but I don't think we have to exclude it from the land management plan because of the current wording.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm also uncomfortable with removing Peterson Hill strictly because this talks about being a complete, basically, catalog of what the city owns. I think we definitely have a lot of work to do on the disposal process because I've gone, you know, back when Mayor Sanford asked me to be on the Affordable Housing Commission, I flat out looked him in the face and said, until the cost of land becomes more reasonable, there's nothing the city can do about it. So that'll take care of the affordable housing. I don't know that Peterson Hill is necessarily the right location for that affordable housing. I'm not sure that the Oakdale Elementary School can handle the increased population. You know, all these things work together so much, but like everything else within the community works together, everything within this document, this 177 pages, has references back and forth throughout it, almost like Title 49. You can't just rip out a couple pages of Title 49 and throw it in the trash because then the rest of it doesn't make sense. So I think we would have to develop it. We would have to adopt it in its entirety, recognizing that some changes could be made and maybe not wait 2 years for the more urgent ones like Peterson Hill.
Okay, further discussion. Are you ready for the question? Clerk, call the roll, please.
On ordinance 2016-18, Ms. Becker?
Did you call me?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Yes. No. Ms. Purcell?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
No.
Ms. Kwandaszewski?
Yes.
Mr. Keel?
Yes.
Mr. Nankervis?
Yes.
Ms. Troll?
Yes.
Ms. White?
Yes.
Mayor Kelch?
No.
6A, 3A. Motion passes.
Okay, let's take a 5-minute break and reconvene at 9:30.
Looking for something for your kindergartner or first grader to do this summer? Juno Montessori School presents Kids in Nature Douglas Summer Camp, offering 4 2-week sessions from June 6th through July 29th. Children 4 to 7 years old will explore the rich natural resources of Douglas Island, from beaches to forests to alpine. Registration has already begun and spaces are filling. More information and registration at 364-3535.
Support for programming comes from the Capital City Weekly, focused on arts, culture, and entertainment in Southeast Alaska, with distribution at community retailers throughout the region. Information at capitalcityweekly.com.
Whether it's alcohol or drugs, getting behind the wheel is dangerous.
While alcohol strongly impairs your judgments, marijuana can slow your reaction time, decrease your coordination, and impair your sense of time and distance.
Drug driving increases your chances of getting into a car accident.
If you've drunk alcohol or taken a drug, be safe and stay off the road.
This message is brought to you by KXLL in support of the Taylor White Foundation.
And good evening. It is 9:24, and you are tuned to KTOO-FM in Juneau. And we've been listening to the live broadcast of the CBJ Assembly meeting. They have gone on a 5-minute break, and we'll be listening to music until they come back. But first, tonight mostly cloudy, scattered showers, lows around 45. Tomorrow mostly cloudy, scattered showers, highs around 56. Wednesday mostly cloudy, scattered showers, and Thursday partly cloudy, highs around 64.
23.
A resolution de-appropriating $1,893,119 from the Runway Safety Area Capital Improvement Project. Grant funding was provided by Federal Aviation Administration and Alaska Department of Transportation and Public Facilities grants.
Mr. Manager.
This resolution would de-appropriate $1,893,119 from the Runway Safety Area Project. This de-appropriates FAA and Alaska DOT grants in the amount of disallowed expenses which resulted from the relocation of the snow removal equipment facility. Transfer T-978 has been submitted separately for local sales tax funding from the snow removal equipment facility project to cover these expenses. The Airport Board approved this action at its April 12, 2016 meeting. The Assembly Finance Committee discussed the resolution at its May 11, 2016 meeting. At its May 16, 2016 meeting, the Committee of the Whole referred the matter back to the Assembly. I recommend you adopt this ordinance.
No one has signed up for public comment. Is there any public comment? Mr. Jones, would you move this, please?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would move resolution 2753 and ask for unanimous consent.
Is there objection? Motion carried. Transfer T-978, Madam Clerk.
Transfer T-978, it is hereby ordered by the Assembly of the City and Borough of Juneau, Alaska, that $1,893,119 be transferred from the Snow Removal Equipment Facility Capital Improvement Project, CIP, to the Runway Safety Area, CIP, funding provided by temporary sales tax.
Mr. Manager.
This transfer would increase the Runway Safety Area project budget by $1,893,119 and is companion to the prior resolution. This transfer of sales tax funds from the Snow Removal Equipment Facility project will cover disallowed project costs which resulted from the relocation of the Snow Removal Equipment Facility. The Airport Board approved this action at its April 12, 2016 meeting. The Assembly Finance Committee discussed the transfer at its May 11, 2016 meeting. At its May 16, 2016 meeting, the Committee of the Whole referred the matter back to the Assembly. I recommend you approve this transfer.
There is no one signed up for public comment. Is there any public comment? Ms. Frizzell.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move that we approve transfer T-978 and ask for unanimous consent.
Is there objection? Seeing none, motion is approved. Brings us to new business. Madam Clerk.
Notice of Appeal, Olmo LLC versus Board of Adjustment regarding variance VAR 2015-0030.
Mr. Manager and Ms. Attorney.
On April 12, 2016, the Planning Commission, sitting as the Board of Adjustment, denied a variance request sought by Olmo LLC. An appeal was timely filed. At this stage, you are required to accept or reject the appeal. In considering whether to accept or reject the appeal, you must liberally construe the notice of appeal that was found in your packet in order to preserve the rights of the applicant. You may reject an appeal only if there has been a failure to comply with the appellate rules or if the notice fails to state grounds upon which relief can be granted. If you do decide to accept the appeal, you must decide whether you will hear it yourselves or whether you appoint a hearing officer.
Ms. Troll, will you move to accept the appeal?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to accept the notice of appeal of OMO LLC versus the Board of Adjustments.
Is there objection? Seeing none, the next is to hear it ourselves or have it heard by an officer.
Decide whether you will hear the appeal yourselves or heard by a hearing officer, yes.
Okay.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
Continuing on, I will move that we decide to hear this appeal ourselves.
Okay. Is there objection? Now we need to find a hearing officer.
A presiding officer, yes.
We would like to find a presiding
officer.
My
motion was that we hear it ourselves.
Right. A presiding officer is the assembly.
Oh, presiding officer. I thought you said hearing officer.
I'm sorry. Through the mayor, yes.
Sorry.
It's okay. The hearing part of it didn't come through. We need someone probably that served on the Planning Commission and has not heard one of these people. Is there any volunteers?
Well, Mr. Mayor, I have not been a hearing officer. My only question is, I do know the appellant. Does that matter? It doesn't mean I'm...
Do you know the appellant as far as a conflict of interest situation, or you're just acquainted with the appellant?
The latter, acquainted with the appellant.
No, that's not a conflict.
Okay.
Thank you for volunteering, Ms. Well,
thank you. You're welcome, Mr. Mayor.
So that takes care of A, correct? B, requests for authorization to enter into negotiations. Madam Clerk.
Request for authorization to enter into negotiations for the sale of lots 6 and 7 of the Reninger subdivision of the Alaska Housing Development Corporation.
Mr. Manager.
City staff requested letters of interest for the disposal of 6 residential lots in the Reninger subdivision. The Lands Committee reviewed the 3 letters of interest received at its April 24, 2016 meeting and directed staff to work with the Affordable Housing Development Corporation to move forward with its proposal to purchase lots 6 and 7 in the Reninger subdivision at fair market value. At its May 16, 2016 meeting, the Lands Committee passed a motion of support for the Assembly to authorize the manager to enter into direct negotiations with the AHDC for the sale of lots 6 and 7, utilizing city financing. Staff is proposing financial terms of 15 years and is requesting authorization to negotiation the sale of these 2 lots. Once the sale has been negotiated, staff will request authorization from the Assembly to dispose of the property by ordinance. I recommend you authorize the manager to enter into negotiations with AHDC.
There's no one signed up for public comment on this.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would move that the Assembly authorize the manager to enter into negotiations with the Alaska Housing Development Corporation.
Is there objection? Motion carried. Bridge Park Housing. Madam Clerk.
Bridge Park Housing.
Mr. Manager.
Mr. Mayor, at the August 31st, 2015 regular assembly meeting, the assembly was asked to consider using the Bridge Park location as a site to develop housing. The request was referred to the September 10th, 2015 Committee of the Whole meeting, where the assembly determined the appropriate area for housing consideration was from the edge of 9th Street right away to the bridge. The Committee of the Whole directed staff to outline conceptual parameters for potential housing development within that footprint and requested that the concept be taken through an appropriate internal process to determine the overall viability of the project. Code requires Planning Commission review before land can be disposed of through a negotiated sale. The Commission reviewed the conceptual housing proposal at its May 10, 2015 meeting. The Commission concurred with CDD staff's analysis that the project does not comport with the comprehensive plan, draft housing action plan, and the 2004 long-range waterfront plan, and recommended that the assembly not proceed with the disposal. The commission's notice of recommendation, relevant portion of the planning commission's minutes, and the staff reports of the commission are in your packet. I recommend that you follow the planning commission's recommendation, and at this time do not plan on taking further action on this idea.
Okay, we do have someone signed up for public comment. Mr. Coogan.
Thank you. Wayne Coogan. I believe this is the project that I proposed several months back. And I'm surprised to hear that it didn't comport with the Housing Action Plan to build 24 units of apartments where there's no residential development at all right now. But regardless of all that, and I haven't seen the staff's analysis, but I would like to say that if anything changes down the line, that we're still willing to go in and propose a 24-unit apartment development down there. If the zoning, I think that's what the initial analysis said. I'm not sure what it is now at this point, but I'm just saying we're still interested in doing that. It would be 24 units of housing adjacent to the park. So if there's any change in heart here ever, we're available and still interested. That's all.
Thank you, Mr. Coogan. Is there any questions from the assembly?
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, does anyone object to proceeding in accordance with the Planning Commission recommendation? This question.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I object just for purposes of making a statement. I agree with Mr. Coogan about the shocking thing about the staff report regarding it doesn't comport with the housing action, the draft housing action plan. I read the staff report. I read the minutes. And by their interpretation, any housing developed at market rate doesn't comport with the housing action plan. And I don't think that's what the housing action plan meant. Again, this is inclusive language. It says the land should not be thought of, that you should try to implement your policy goals with your land policies, and including filling key housing gaps. And the sentences talk about, for example, building senior housing or more affordable housing. It doesn't say market rate housing is not desired. So I think that's a misreading of the housing action plan. I still think that, you know, I would agree with the Planning Commission's recommendation. I just wanted to put on the record that I think that's a strange reading of the plan, of the Housing Action Plan. So I'll remove my objection.
Okay. Does anybody else have an objection? Okay, then we will proceed in accordance with the Planning Commission recommendation on this. Brings us to staff reports.
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Wow. Ms. Attorney?
No, thank you.
Well, we'll see. Try Ms. Deputy Manager.
No, thank you.
Mayor's report. Speaking at Baccalaureate tomorrow night, so if anybody has any suggestions on what to say, let me know. And the Slam June 6th, I spoke at the Blessing of the Fleet, the Alaska Peace Officers Memorial Service, and attended the gathering that afternoon at Evergreen Cemetery. Was able to have lunch with the street maintenance, and I am reducing my hours from 46 and a half average to 42. We're making progress here, and without finance meetings, it will be a lot less. Thank you very much. Committee and liaison reports together, starting with Mr. Jones.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Human Resources Committee met prior to the assembly meeting tonight. Take up some appointments to boards and commissions. First one we discussed was the 88 committee appointment. We had one seat begin immediate to expire August 31st, 2017. And the HRC recommends that Ross Douglas be appointed to term on the 88 committee to expire August 31st, 2017.
Is there any objection? So moved.
The second one that we considered tonight was the Treadwell Arena Advisory Board appointment. This is our first reappointment. We had staggered the terms last year. So we had one seat open, and the incumbent chose not to apply. We had three applications for the one seat, and the committee recommends appointing Miles Brooks to a term to expire May 31st, 2019.
Is there any discussion? Seeing none.
The next committee was the Juneau Local Emergency Planning Committee. We had two seats to be filled. Fire Chief Rich Etheridge has requested that his alternate firefighter seat be reassigned to EMS Training Officer Joe Mishler. And the committee is recommending the appointment of Joe Mishler to a term beginning immediately and expiring December 31st, 2016, plus a subsequent three-year term expiring December 31st, 2019.
Okay, is there any discussion? Mr. Nankervis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I don't recall us doing this before where we set somebody out for 6 months and then another three. Have we done that before? I'm just curious.
Mr. Mayor, we have, and the rules allow, if we're within 6 months, we can appoint to the next term. In this particular committee, the Local Emergency Planning Committee, most of the seats are designated. And so the police chief gets to choose who fills the position. We felt that since he wanted to keep that position and have that person in there, that we could go ahead and appoint for the next three-year term as well.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you for that, Mr. Jones. I'm not saying that we haven't done it. I was just saying I don't remember doing it. Thank you for that.
All right. Is there any objection?
Secondly, we had a general public seat up for a term that expires December 31st, 2017, and the committee recommends the appointment of Lindsay Taylor to a term on the Local Emergency Planning Committee, term to expire December 31st, 2017.
Is there any discussion? Nomination is approved.
The last committee that we looked at tonight was the Utility Advisory Board appointments. There were two seats open. Just prior to the meeting, we were given a second candidate. And so the committee recommends the appointment of Andrew Campbell to a term expiring May 31st, 2018.
Is there any discussion? Ms. Troll? Okay. Nomination is approved.
And the other seat, the incumbent Leon Vance, who I believe is current chair, for a term expiring May 31st, 2019.
Is there any discussion? Nomination is approved.
And then just two reminders that the Aquatics Advisory Board, or Aquatics Facility Board, and Docks and Harbors Board's applications are due May 31st, and we will meet as an HRC committee of the whole on June 15th at 5 o'clock to consider appointments and interview candidates for those two boards. And on June 15th, the Eagle Crest Board and the Airport Board's applications are due, and we will meet as an HRC committee of the whole on June 29th to interview candidates and make those appointments. I wanted to make sure that you had those on the calendar, and that's the HRC committee report. You want liaisons at the same time? Juneau Economic Development Council, next meeting is June 1st. They had a very successful maritime festival, also beginning with the blessing of the fleet, which the mayor spoke to. Juneau Economic Development Council has a staff member that is back in Milwaukee, I believe, with two members of the Downtown Business Association Board this week at a Main Street USA annual conference. And the main focus of that is to look at issues about downtown revitalization and downtown improvement districts and bring that information back. The STEM, which we approved through the Human Resource or the Finance Committee for some money this year, their summer camps are going to be on this summer, and some of the camps are actually going to start next week. And the first celebration fundraiser for statewide programs is Tuesday, June 7th in Anchorage at the BP Center. I wish it was a day later because I will be up there on other business. But any of you happen to be in Anchorage on June 7th, get a hold of Brian Holst, and he can let you know and probably get you into that fundraiser. And it's basically a corporate fundraiser with Alaska Airlines and BP, and it's actually held at the BP Center. And it's part of their corporate fundraising for the STEM projects. Commission on Aging met this month, and the primary discussion, since I'm the first time they've ever had a liaison, we spent most of the meeting talking about what my role ought to be, what I want my role to be, what they would like my role to be, talking about communications between them and how to get information to and from the assembly. It was a learning experience for both of us in terms of what each of us thought we could do and what we wanted to do. Their next meeting is June 9th, and I will not be there. If anybody else wants to attend, I know others have attended in the past. The Downtown Business Association meeting in May was canceled. Their next scheduled meeting is June 7th. The Airport Board, we dealt with most of the issues that were before that board tonight with the de-appropriations, reappropriations, and some of the other funding that we did. And their next meeting is June 14th. And the Downtown Improvement Group, which I'm not liaison to, but I've been going to a lot of their meetings, haven't met the last couple of weeks. The legislature, I think they've been trying to schedule Representative Keto, and that's been a problem. And I haven't seen any email whether they're going to meet this Friday or not. And so those are my liaison and committee reports, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. Ms. Purcell.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Eagle Crest meeting, the previous meeting was canceled so that the members could wait and work on the funding issues and just wait and see how things were going to work out with their finances. So I'm sure they're going to be happy about this appropriation for the $100,000. Revenues were below operating expenditures in FY16 due to the low snowfall. That's been their largest concern right now. We do have a meeting tomorrow night at 5:30 p.m. My other liaison report is with the Local Emergency Planning Committee. Next meeting is June 2nd. The biggest thing that is happening right now is the graduation that's taking place on Wednesday for all of the people that were involved in the 8 sessions of community emergency response team course that went from April 19th to May 14th. That was a free community courses delivered by LAPC.
Okay. Mother of the bride-to-be.
Really close. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Lands Committee met on May 16th and made a decision to approve the Lands Department to negotiate with UAS for the home build program for Lot 3. I'm sure that will be coming back to us as an assembly. We addressed lots 6 and 7 tonight as a result of actions that the Lands Committee made. And the other action they took on the Renager subdivision was leaving lots 2, 4, and 5 for consideration to a public-private partnership with Pacific Development Group. That discussion got forwarded on to the Committee of the Whole, and we dealt with it there in part. The Lands Committee also got a report on the wetlands, update on the wetlands management plan, and the next meeting of the Lands Committee is scheduled for June 6th. That's the Lands Committee report. In regards to the Affordable Housing Commission, they met on Tuesday, May 3rd, and a lot of the discussion at that meeting was about Peterson Hill, which you've since read about and heard about tonight. There were 13 developers that attended that discussion. And obviously it'll be a subject with the Affordable Housing Commission in the future as well. They also took time to talk about the public comments that they received on the Housing Action Plan and the changes that they will be making. And the Housing Action Plan is set to go to the Planning Commission in June, and then it will come to us. The Affordable Housing Commission also heard from a board member of the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation, and with them they sort of talked about ways to perhaps some of their loan programs could be ways to capitalize revolving fund projects for the Affordable Housing Commission. So just exploring some revenue options there. And their next meeting would be like June 2nd. The Juneau Commission on Sustainability, their last meeting was canceled, but they did have a work session on April 27th. And at that work session, they kind of hammered out formatting details for the energy plan, which they hope to be coming to the committee at the whole at the end of June. They also received a presentation from Adrian Schwartz from the school district, who's been administering their energy efficiency program, and discussed ways to continue to try and reduce energy costs with a private consultancy audit. And there are two vacant seats on the Juneau Commission of Sustainability. As a result of assembly action, we changed it from 7 to 9. So, and that concludes my committee and liaison reports, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Troll. Ms. Bladyshesky.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Public Works and Facilities Committee met on May 16th. There were four action items, three of which are on the will be on the assembly's agenda next time. They were introduced today. You saw DEC loan application, Salmon Creek Tri-Party Agreement, and Industrial Boulevard Reconstruction MOA. So we'll have that the next time. The other action item was Dunn Street. We talked about Dunn Street again. We had talked about Dunn Street the previous meeting, asked the manager to go back one more time and talk to property owners in the area, and basically it was back to what was on the table at the last time, and that is the street, the right-of-way isn't large enough for CBJ equipment to turn around, and so the request is that the property owners continue to plow snow there. They would like not to do that. We had a whole lot of information. Item 7, the ones to a notable West Douglas Road update, and the manager will consolidate, all, since that has become an issue, will consolidate various reports and discussions of that in a place on the web that people will can find, because it's sort of buried at this point. Gonna apply for a bus grant for two electric buses, low or no emission buses. That would be exciting if we got them. 80% of federal. Let's see, the Parks and Rec Advisory Committee met on May 3rd. They spent a time talking about fireworks in parks and debating whether or not they wanted to recommend to the assembly to do something about that. They haven't come to any conclusion. They're still talking about it. They got updates about the Ocean Center. They the staff person was introduced who is going to work on the Parks and Rec comp plan. Alexandra Pierce, Donna Pierce, relative. She's up. She'll be back and forth to work on that in the next year or so. And they next meet on June 7th. The hospital board has not met since we last met, but they're meeting tomorrow at 5:15. And that's my reports.
Thank you. Father of the ground to be.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. First off, Finance Committee. Woo, that was it. Nothing until August. I'd like to thank staff and the assembly for making that go so smoothly. Next up, Docks and Harbors. I get an update from the Port Director, Carl Yucatel. Thank you very much for this, Carl.
Regarding 16B, the artwork fabrication, scheduled to begin this month with installation planned for late summer or fall of 2017. Everybody knows that the south berth on 16B is done. The north berth pontoon is staged offshore from Aurora, the breakwater in Aurora Harbor, and that is scheduled to move over and begin construction in September. Obviously not until the big boats go away. Statter Harbor, progress is continuing. Substantial completion date is July 16th of this year. Aurora Harbor is awaiting a governor's signature on a capital budget, a bill which currently has funds which would be available for Aurora Harbor Phase 2. Planning efforts are underway, expecting funds will be available in FY17. The Land Management Plan, Norway Point to Bridge Park, had their first meeting on the 18th. 55 members of the public showed up for that. They do not have any more scheduled meetings until the fall on that. They are meeting with Central Council Clinkett and Haida to discuss the roadside fisheries requirement in a lease at the Fane Ore House. There's a conditional use hearing scheduled for June 14th. And I think that's it for now. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Nankervis. Ms. Becker.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The School District Assembly Facilities Committee has not met since we last talked. The Alaska Committee has decided to give $10,000 toward the Bill Ray Center for May and $10,000 toward the Bill Ray Center for June, and to put some additional money into gavel for the extended session that they just finished and will have to continue, undoubtedly. The Chamber of Commerce has been monitoring the state budget and our budget and the lawsuit. They haven't testified about our budget because nothing's bothered them. Isn't that nice? They haven't been bothered by anything, but they did have a little bit of a concern recently about our mill rate, but there was no agreement, so they didn't come and testify or make any comments to us. Craig spoke at the American Society of Engineers conference that we had in Juneau. And he told me that he spoke about Carl, you could tell, and docks and harbors, and about the work that's being done and the importance of the tourism business to Juneau, and the loyalty that Carl shows to continuing the projects. But that was pretty nice. The chamber organized a harbor cruise for over 100, and Carl, you could tell, and Rory Watt spoke on that cruise, which I guess was really lovely, and toured the. Did anyone go from here?
I went.
Yeah.
I was there. Yeah. It was hot and sunny.
Yeah. Well, you know more about it than I do because I didn't get to go, but it sounded great. And they talked about the Sea Walk and so forth. And their next event is a golf tournament. The Juneau After School Coalition, we had a meeting at the library, and there were, I can't remember how many, I think 8 different groups of people who offer activities for the young people in town, and especially for summer options. I wanted to say, I should have said this earlier, but Jordan Nigro, who is our Zach Gordon director, organized a large community event at the Centennial Hall where people from all over town came in and shared what they do in the summer for kids, and had sign-ups, and parents and students came around and saw all the different activities that are going to be available this summer. I thought that was really good, so that's sort of a shout-out to her. That was really a big deal, and she was complimented at this Juneau After School Coalition. And that's it for those things. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Becker. Ms. White.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Aquatics Board and its various committees have been still meeting regularly. Believe it or not, the passes are, even the annual passes are still selling at a fairly brisk rate, but they are now starting to work down the list to work on the expenses. I believe they're scheduled to meet with us with a committee of the whole in late June. as I look towards the city manager, I believe it's late June for aquatics board notes. Sound about right? Okay. Well, hopefully. Let's see. Planning Commission meets tomorrow night. It's going to start a little bit early, as they're going to start with a committee of the whole to review roles and responsibilities and do some training, which will then be followed by their regular meeting. Up in front of them tomorrow is a use permit for an asphalt plant in the AML yard. Yes, again, they've had some attendance issues and getting a quorum and getting enough votes. They're going to have a conditional use permit for a marijuana grow operation in an industrial zone and a rezone of some land that goes kind of behind family practice and towards engineers cutoff, and an update on the wetlands management plan. Travel Juneau, in the last month, they've had several training sessions were held for their 140 volunteers. My mother-in-law described, she's one of the volunteers, and she described it as these five-minute segments where the different vendors had the opportunity to sell them. So it was very fast-paced. They did their walkabout to the various vendors on May 7th. They also did a street cleanup starting down at the dirt lot on the other side of Taku Smokeries and working their way up through the tourist corridor. They did a cleanup of the streets on April 29th. I don't know if you knew this. We actually have the largest core of visitor service volunteers in the United States through Travel Juneau. On May 12th, they had a gentleman, Phil, and I wrote down his name too messy, from TripAdvisor, gave a speech at the Elizabeth Paratrovich Hall on managing online reputations, which was well attended. Their website rebuild that we authorized is well underway, and the traffic is already seeming to increase. I actually ended up on their mobile site today pulling some of my information. And let's see, I'll skip over some of the rest of it to keep it short, but upcoming meetings on the 8-week outlook, things going on in Juneau. Seattle Heritage Institute is doing celebration from June 6th through the 11th. There's also going to be a meeting of the National Bicycle Dealers Association from June 20th to 23rd. And the Council of Yukon First Nations Juneau Conference will be on June 11th. And between these items, that's expected to have an economic impact of about $600,000 on Juneau. So it's a positive thing. I like having a positive group to report on. So that's it for Yukon. Thank you,
Ms. White. Mr. Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Committee of the Whole last met May 16th. We heard an update from the Treadwell Arena Advisory Board, and they talked about the success that the board and management and user groups have had getting along together and working together, as well as success in raising the cost recovery rate at Treadwell Arena. And several of the other metrics that the Assembly set that board when we set them up. We got an update on the Airport Sustainability Master Plan, which seems to be the new term for Airport Master Plan, and more will come back on that as the Airport Board continues its work. The Finance Committee, having done all the actual work on the runway safety area and SHREF grant money transfers, the Committee of the Whole referred those back and we acted on them tonight. And then the other item on the Committee of the Whole's agenda was the discussion of a potential public-private partnership for three lots on Jackie Street in the Renninger subdivision. And the direction to staff was that they work with a proposed developer and bring back to the Assembly a refined plan with a financial analysis and a better risk profile.
Those were the items at Committee of the Whole. To move on to liaison reports, I spent Tuesday and Wednesday of last week in Anchorage at the Alaska Municipal League Board of Directors meeting. Had some good conversations among us. I was also joined by the Association of Fire Chiefs representative, who happens to be our very own, and the board did a lot of good work. One of the topics of discussion was a particular lawsuit by an industry against a municipality that might affect other municipalities. And the next time the city attorney calls us together on that, I'd be happy to report in more detail on the league's actions. Also, significant conversations about the recent legislative session and what local governments around the state are doing on the marijuana policy issues that they face. Let's see. The UAS Campus Council met, I believe that was 2 weeks ago, Monday. It's last meeting of the year, or of the academic year, I should say. We'll meet again in September. The school board next meets on June the 14th, and I look forward to spending time with them there. They were had some representatives here this evening as we finished out their budget, God willing, and the legislature don't change it.
Thank you, sir. Just as a side note, I met with the director of the Juvenile Arts and Humanities Council, and we will be doing it, putting together an ad hoc committee for the arts complex. If there's anyone on the assembly that would like to volunteer besides Maria, who has already volunteered, we can...
No. We can discuss it, Mr. Mayor.
Just go ahead and email it. But I did note that Maria had already volunteered somewhere along the line.
That was a different committee, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Assembly comments and questions, and let's just start and go backwards.
I've been accused
reverse,
of going
reverse,
backwards in the past. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Comments and questions. Let me welcome Mr. Healy. I don't know whether I should welcome him back to the organization since I wasn't here the last time he was here, but welcome. Looking forward to working with you. I had the opportunity last week with a different hat on, not my assembly hat on, to talk to a couple of sections of government class at Thunder Mountain High School, almost entirely seniors, a very sharp and well-prepared group. And any time you ever get an invitation from a teacher to talk with their students, I recommend you move mountains to do it. They were impressive. They asked a lot of good questions, some tough questions. I only squirmed a little. had the opportunity to go out to Community Day on campus at UAS on Saturday, 14th, in the gorgeous weather. And that included the Elementary School Student Art Awards, which were very cool. Seeing not only what some of the kids are producing in their art classes, but also seeing some of them get rewarded for their remarkable efforts. It was a great quote on the display of student art that from one of the students. It said, "I love art class because I get this weird feeling I'm ready to learn anything after that." So that was inspiring. I am very much, as I suspect we all are, looking forward to Celebration, which comes up in, I think, 2 weeks' time, June 8th through the 11th. There's a lot of preparation work going on for that, and so I encourage everyone to attend as much of that as you're able, speaking of inspiring. I have one other thing under comments and questions, Mr. Mayor. It's come to my attention that the Danish government has invited some representatives from CBJ to join a tour that the Danish government is funding to look at district energy projects in Denmark, and I understand there may also be a visit to a district energy project in Norway, very similar to the one proposed here. My understanding that the mayor and the former mayor and the manager were all invited, and I just want to say this is an excellent opportunity for CBJ to gain some on-the-ground knowledge and ask some of the tough questions firsthand on somebody else's nickel, not the taxpayers' nickel, which strikes me as a good idea. We've had some conversations, run it by the city attorney to make sure that things square with the ethics code. And it's my understanding that that the former mayor, Ms. Becker, is available to go and willing on those dates. I think it's really important that one of the people who goes be a policymaker, be someone who has knowledge of our community and of the sorts of things, the non-engineering parts of the analysis, the ability to look at things and figure out what might fit well in a tight downtown geometry like ours, what sorts of things community members in Juneau tend to be touchy about, so that as a project moves forward, we're told, Juneau Hydropower is moving forward, the city can be prepared, can be out ahead of the questions. And so while I very much encourage the manager on his own authority to send staff to look at the engineering and technical and what have you parts, it falls to us under the ethics code to authorize one of our members to go and to report back. So after those discussions with the mayor, with the attorney, I certainly I don't know if you I'm trying to remember if we need a motion, Mr. Mayor. I think we ought to authorize Ms. Becker to take this invitation and to report back to us on the trip and her studies in Denmark.
I will take that as a motion. I would ask the attorney to speak to it before we go any further.
What the code provides is that a gift of travel can be accepted as long as it cannot be reasonably inferred that the purpose of the trip is to influence the decision maker in his or her official action on behalf of the CBJ. For purposes of this discussion, my assumption, what I've been told, is that it is the government that is funding this trip, and not any of the private developers who would benefit from the CBJ going down this road. Assuming that that is true, my recommendation would be, if the assembly is in agreement to sending one of your members to take advantage of this opportunity, that the person who goes just needs to keep in mind that should there come a time when there is official action needing to be taken, and anyone who was part of the funding or took part in the funding of this trip is before the assembly for any reason, that person would have to recuse themselves from that decision. If this was funded by the government, that's not going to be an issue, but there may be things to keep in mind as later on.
Okay. Ms. Stroll?
I just wanted to point out that we did have an opportunity to meet with some members of Denmark already. The heating partners that are working with Juneau Hydro did come to the city, and we had a discussion, and the mayor was there for part of it, and Madam Becker and myself. I asked a lot of questions, and anyway, I'd be happy, Madam Deputy Mayor, or sorry, Ms. Becker.
Whatever.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm just trying to help you, hone in on some of the key policy questions. It was a very informative discussion. That we had, and be happy to help you follow up on that.
Okay. Any further comments? Is there any objection?
Okay.
Motion carried. Ms. White, assembly comments.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I do have a couple of questions for the city manager. I'll admit I have lost faith in ever paying water and sewer bills or parking tickets or anything else online. However, I've got an easy one for you. All you got to do is post a couple of PDFs. The ad that you do for delinquencies and sales tax, and the ad that you do for delinquencies on property tax. I have a lot of people who are constantly asking me, what day did that print? How do I get a hold of that particular day's paper? Those would be pretty simple to post. And maybe if somebody pays the bill, you could take a Sharpie to it and repost it or something. But having that information available to the public would be a real step in the right direction of bringing us up to the, you know, current century. And maybe someday we'll do our water and sewer bills and parking tickets and things like that online. But I'll lay off if you can take care of these for a while. But I need a smile. Thank you.
Any more threats?
No, I didn't threaten him.
All right. Ms. Becker.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Mayor. On Arbor Day, I gave a little talk with other people at the City Museum, and then the group went out and watched the governor. I'm not kidding you. He took a shovel, and he dug too far. It was supposed to be 3 feet, and he went further than 3 feet, and we had to fill up part of the hole. He never quit. He did at one time take off his jacket toward the end. I was totally amazed. He seemed to be having a very good time. And then a hawthorn tree was put in, and Jesse helped hold it up. And it was just a fun event. And but I was just particularly, you go, Gov. It was pretty incredible. And then, of course, I with some of the others, toured 16B after the event that we had here in the Assembly Chamber, learning all the complicated details about how that dock was built, far above my grade. And then I just wanted to say, because I don't know that everyone knows this, but the request to go to Denmark came directly from the government. It's not anything to do with the city government. It wasn't that the mayor asked me or the city manager, anybody else asked me. The country of Denmark sent a personal invitation to me to go. So I didn't want to think there was favoritism shown here by any part of our city government, because there wasn't. It was strictly a Denmark thing. And I am leaving on the 1st, and I'll get back the 11th. And I'm, of June, next week. So if anyone has any great ideas of what I should wear. Just email me.
Email question.
Yeah. Anyway, so I'm really looking forward to it because I've never been there, and it'll be very educational, and I have been asked by someone to write a report and give it to you when I get back, so I will do that. And so thank you for accepting the fact that I get to go. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Dan Kerbis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Several things. I neglected to mention Docks and Harbors' next meeting is this Thursday here in Chambers, and the event that Ms. Becker is speaking to is the Infrastructure Week that just took place, and everybody that was there went down to 16B. I briefly wanted to comment on something Mr. Jones commented on. He gave a liaison report for the Commission on Aging, and that over the winter, I don't remember exactly when it was, there was a liaison appointed to the Commission on Aging, and I thought that just struck me as odd because it's not one we've had. So I looked it up, and I had some help, and it's there.
organizing, I'll call it an organizing ordinance, doesn't state that they have a liaison on the assembly, but it also doesn't state that they can't have a liaison in the assembly. So I bring this up just for process. I don't know, Mr. Jones is more than willing, I guess, to go be the liaison for that group, but I think just to me, it seems to be that should be a discussion we have as a whole body on whether we commit somebody else, because it next year it might be somebody else. It might not be Mr. Jones, I don't know, but we're adding workload to folks, and I think that just for process reasons, that probably ought to come before the whole body. I also wanted to mention June 8th, we've all been invited, and my wife says we should go. The SLAM is having a reception from 1, I think it's from 1 until 3 on June 8th, Monday.
June 6th.
Okay, I've got the date wrong.
June.
All right. So, we should go there.
Whenever.
On the 6th, 1 to 3, I believe. I've got it in my phone, but I don't have my phone in front of me.
It is the 6th.
And lastly, I'd just like to say congratulations to my son and his fiance. Before we meet again, I will have a daughter-in-law. Congratulations. Yay. Thank you.
Do we get to brag about our kids now?
No.
That's the only time I'm going to get to do this.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The only thing I wanted to mention was something people already mentioned, just thanks to Mr. Yucatel for organizing the Infrastructure Week event here. It wasn't just a ribbon cutting where people stood around and took a pic, you know, cut the ribbon for the dock, but there were engineers and we had PowerPoints and talked about the importance of infrastructure and even comedy videos, which were wonderful.
That was
brilliant, so I appreciated that. That's all. Thank you.
Ms. Troll.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. A couple of comments. First, I would like to respond to the editorial that was in the Juneau Empire regarding the Peterson Hill, and it had a couple of things in there asking the city to do things, and I think it's worthwhile to point out that we actually are doing those things. It asked us to, if the city could ease in the tax burden on developers while homes are being built. Once we got the statutory authority, we did proceed undoing tax exemptions instead of tax deferrals. It also says the CBJ should also review and streamline the process for home building, particularly barriers that dissuade it. We spent a considerable amount of time revising Ordinance 49 to do that very thing. We still may have some problems with the implementation of those provisions, but I just think it's important to note this correction that we actually are doing the things that have been asked of us to do in these regards. I like several other members here, had the wonderful opportunity to attend the Housing First groundbreaking. And, you know, for me to see that whole diversity of the 40 to 50-some community members and the role that everybody had there, it was just exemplified one of the things I love most about Juneau, about how this community does come together and address some fundamental needs. And I'd like to put a shout-out to Maria Lovacek and Scott Cambor for the role that they played in helping bring that together. They deserve the special recognition that they did receive. In regards to Ms. Becker's trip to Denmark, I would ask that she also check out the mermaid. You've never been to Copenhagen, and when you see the Little Mermaid statue, you'll see what an iconic statue can do for the tourism. And there may be some. I don't want to. I'm trying to have a meeting without bringing up that one word.
Yeah. Well, that one word will be our Little Mermaid.
Yeah. All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I have a question, perhaps for staff, about the request that William Quayle made about the pedicycle. My first question is, he mentioned $1,500 fee for business, and if someone knows, can explain seems to me like an awfully high fee. Someone could explain, what is that fee for?
Through the mayor, so I'm assuming this is in our commercial passenger vehicle regulations, which went through a long process. A lot of forms of vehicles are regulated, pedicabs, cabs, shuttles, things like that. Ms. Gladyszewski had the pleasure of working on it when she was a CBJ staff member. I have not looked at the regulation to try and figure out why it's written the way it is.
You want me to? I'll just mention that the overall fees were designed to, at the time, the industry wanted enforcement of the rules, and so they were designed to capture enough revenue to pay for a new enforcement officer. Now, that was some time ago. Whether those things still apply, I mean, that's why the fees were like they are like they are. Petty cabs themselves were not really a thing at the time, so it wasn't really addressed.
Purcell.
So in addition to that, my question is, would there be support from the assembly to ask staff to look at this more closely, especially for pedicab? I would like to support Mr. Quayle in his quest to have a business and running his own pedicab. He's a senior citizen. He wants to work. He wants to do a business, and I would like to support that.
I'll support it.
He means trying to get your attention.
Oh, sorry.
So there's already an endorsement for human-powered vehicles. That's a Class C endorsement. It's a $25-$50 application fee, something around there. It's the registration or the application to have engage in a commercial convenience and necessity endorsement fee. To engage in a CPV business, you have to pay the $1,500. So it's not specific to pedicab. That's just the overall fee that we charge anyone who wants to get into the CPV business. So we can certainly, I just wanted to make sure that everyone understood what it was we would be looking at if you wanted to address the $1,500 fee.
I'm interested in that. I think it's too much.
Well, does anybody have any objection with Ms. Purcell working with staff and reporting back to us? Mm-hmm. Hey, would you mind doing that?
I would be glad to. Thank you.
Okay. Anything else, Ms. Purcell?
No, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Mr. Jones?
I'm sorry I'm last. I have quite a bit. But just to follow up on Ms. Purcell, was it today's newspaper or Sunday's newspaper that had a regulation change related to pedicabs? Does that have any relationship to the fee, or does that just allow them to have signs advertising restaurants on the pedicab so they can raise money to pay the fee?
Wait, it deals with allowing pedicabs, anything with a Class C endorsement, to have commercial advertising in addition to advertising for their own business. On their vehicle.
Is it just the pedicabs, or would it be for taxis and limos? And
that's already allowed for Class A and Class B endorsements, so it's adding the Class C endorsement.
Okay. I just wanted to figure that out because I wasn't sure if that is the same thing. Also, I was wondering, since June 6th, the slam starts at 1 o'clock, and my invitation said goes till 4, I was wondering if the Public Works and Facilities Committee on June 6th could not meet from 12 to 1, or maybe meet from 11 to 12, or not meet at all. Just a suggestion. I don't want to be late. A couple of us attended the last chamber lunch, and Samantha Stoudinger from Water and Wastewater, I thought, gave an excellent presentation to the chamber, and I think it was pretty well received. And I was going to compliment her on her, but Ms. White and Mr. Nan Curvis had her surrounded. So I decided not to join in. But I thought she did a really good job, and she provided some really information. And I actually learned a few things that lunch. I really did appreciate that. Also, Ms. Becker talked about the after-school program. There's another group meeting that Ms. Becker and I attended. The first one, I attended the second meeting. And it's a group of providers that are looking at the impact and how we can, as a community, deal with some of the issues of youth from early to teenager. And a lot of it has to do with the fact that the legislature is eliminating almost $400,000 to city funding for early education, a pre-K. And the Head Start program through Tlingit Haida will continue, but the school district's effort to add more kids to the classrooms is going to end. That's a $400,000 hit. And this group is composed of most of the providers in town. Through the Juneau Economic Development Council's Innovation Summit, one of the speakers was on an issue they call collective impact, how you can measure the impact of, say, all of the various services that are provided that target youth, even though they're maybe not coordinated, but how can you sort of figure this out? And the Juneau Suicide Prevention Coalition is bringing some speakers in to talk about collective impacts. And so this group that I've been meeting with are now calling themselves, this is very strange, but because of the, they went through a process to how could they put it all into one sentence, and basically called All Children and Youth Prosper, a community collaboration committee. And they're going to meet Wednesday, June 1st at 8:30 a.m. at JEDC to hear from the collective impact speakers that the Juneau Suicide Prevention Coalition is bringing to town. It's supposed to go for almost, well, I think till 11:30 because the JEDC board meeting starts at noon. So I wanted to bring that to your attention. I know Ms. Becker's still getting the emails. She's still on the list, but there's an email list of about 30 people. Jordan Igro is there, but most of the others are private. So I wanted to bring that up because it's, I think the impact of that loss of $400,000 is really going to be felt in this community in a couple, 3 years with kids not being kindergarten ready. Just a personal note, I will be in Anchorage 8, 9, and 10 of June, mostly for the Marijuana Control Board meeting on the 9th, which hopefully we will be issuing our first cultivation and testing licenses for marijuana. There's been several conditional use permits. There's a couple on the Planning Commission tomorrow night. But as far as the state level and issuing of actual licenses, our first ones will be June 9th. And so I will be there for that particular meeting. And hopefully we'll have some testing facilities, but I don't think anybody's applied from Juneau yet. So that could be an issue. Just on a personal note, to go from marijuana to the munchies, I had the privilege the hubris, I guess, maybe, as part of the CBJ wellness program here, I actually taught 3 cooking classes this last month and a half at the for City Borough employees. Ms. Cosgrove attended all 3 of them, so you can ask her how bad I was. But I actually enjoyed it. I had a lot of fun. And Jess Brown was there and worked through that process with me. And I actually kind of enjoyed it. It was kind of fun. And we had 10 people in each class and people from the hospital and lots of the other stuff within the hospital. There was another guy who taught a couple other classes, but I taught 3 just in the last month and a half, and I had a lot of fun. And then one last thing, Ms. Troll mentioned the Commission on Sustainability having 2 vacancies. Actually, they have 4, maybe more, because some terms are due. Those applications are due June 7th, and they will be before the HRC on the 13th of June. So we should be filling all those particular positions. And I think that's it. Sorry to take so long, but I had a lot tonight for a change.
We'll we're just going to have an assembly meeting for reports.
I think I better just take notes of what I do every day.
All right. Continuation of public participation on non-agenda items. Well,
I might be short and sweet. I know everybody's tired. The requirements are for getting a pedicycle in order to work in the downtown area. Okay, and this is not in, if you have a business license, the rest of the area is okay. Okay. First, you need, that she mentioned, the Class C, which is like Willoughby Avenue, and I live right in the middle of it, okay? And that area right in there where it's not downtown, it's really weird. And then the harbor's got the rest of the area, okay? And they want $300, okay? It's really ridiculous. I mean, I guess, why are they doing it, okay? Is it money hungry? What is it, okay? There's several ways to take care of it where you can spend, like, you charge $75 and have a limit to how many pedicycles can operate in Juneau. It shouldn't have any because there really isn't that very minimal impact at all. I mean, they can go be all over the place. But and also you have to have a $50, you spend $50 to have it inspected. Well, mine's going to be brand new. I mean, the risk factor is nil, okay? Made in the United States, probably. And we're not going to have, when it comes to risk management and that, there shouldn't be any problem. Make sure everybody wear helmets. You can't have an auto policy for pedicycles. So that's the reason why I'm asking for a separate category for it. I mean, all alone, because the way it's set up is that, you know, you're treated just like you're a taxi cab service and you got a fleet. Okay, I'm not a fleet. I'm just one person. Okay, and I'm very appreciative of Assemblyman Purcell talking, speaking up for me and that. But I appreciate that. The assembly addressed this very fast because this is the season is hot and heavy. I'm trying to get the competition to go with them. Come with me, and I guess because my age, they didn't want to deal with me. But and I decided to go up by myself and get my own. So I am, and it is coming. And it's just I don't want any. I'm trying to eliminate the chance of getting tickets and that. I don't like that stuff. That's the reason why I haven't had any misdemeanors in 39 years. Okay? All right.
Thank you for your testimony. Is there anything else to come before the assembly? If not, we're adjourned.